Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Yo, 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 what's up? It's another episode of Balls Deep Sports on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. We are your sports podcast for all the people out there that need some podcasting in their life about some sports. I am your host, Rod. I am always joined by the one, the only, the homie, Jay Triznoni. What's up, man?
Namaste, my brother.
Namaste back to you.
No. Good morning.
Yeah. You know, we won one game this morning. It was a struggle at the court.
Yeah.
But
it was still fun though.
After you left, I still got a W. So, you know, I was good. And then everybody left.
I need to start taking naps. I need to finish up early enough to get back home and take another 30-minute lap. Nap, because I was at work today and I literally just sitting there and fell asleep. While I was just sitting up, it's not like I had my hand on my head, like I was leaning back in the thing. I just literally just fell asleep.
Yeah.
Right there. So I gotta start getting these naps in.
Yeah.
That 5 a.m. is real.
For real, dog. It was good games this morning, man. Good games. Had some new blood come through. Hopefully they make it out for the next one, dog.
Yeah. And they only tried to cheat once.
Mm-hmm. Which is good, you know, it's come up. Well, we got to start with the song, man. We can't just go right into the show, man. So we need to get our sing on. Let me open up this file. This shit always takes so long to open. I'm about to switch this shit to open up with media, with window media player next time.
Well, you know, last Saturday we got cheated and you was like, fuck this shit.
Oh yeah,
and that's why I brought up we only got cheated, they only attempted to cheat us once.
Yeah, I rage quit last Saturday, guys. For those out there in podcast land, this nigga had been fouling me all day. Well, actually, we actually got to go back, don't we?
Like, yep. Few weeks.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, this dude we normally play against on Saturdays, Carl, who never gets my name right.
Rodney.
Yeah, him and Dave called me Rodney. So this nigga Carl somehow got on our team. We had been winning all day and somebody had to leave, so he ended up being with us.
Yeah, Ray left.
Yeah, him up. So Carl had, and if you know Ray, he's much better than Carl, but we figured like it's getting near the end, time to go anyway. We try to get this one last win with Carl, and Carl was fucking up. Mm-hmm. Like, he fucked up, like, 3 or 4 times, and a couple of them was in a row.
Passes to the chest.
Yeah. Like, one of them, I think, Justin, did you pass it to him, and then he fucked up, or was it that
he missed a wide-open layup.
Yeah, he missed a wide-open layup. Then, on the break, yeah, you pass it to him, it hit him in both his hands, he turned around, fumbled the ball, and then missed the layup. And it was a perfect pass, literally perfect. The next play down, I got, cause then they had a break. I got to stop, caught it, and then made a pass like 3/4 court right to Carl, which he fumbled out of bounds. And no, did he miss that layup or fumbled out of bounds?
He missed a few layups, yeah, right at the like, same time.
Yeah, he missed another layup. And so,
right, we tried to give it to him. Yours was first.
Okay, yeah.
And then I gave him the second one, like, you can't miss 2 in a row. You gotta make up for the first one. And he missed that one.
And he immediately said, like, Justin, like, it was your fault somehow. I was like, what? How's this Justin's fault?
Yeah.
And so I was getting kind of pissed with him because the game was close. We had to leave, but he was making it close by fucking up. And I was like, nah, Carl, that's on you. Cause that's the thing about our team. We typically take responsibility when we fuck up. Like,
yep.
You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time, We won't spend a whole lot of time being like, oh, I didn't fuck up. You fucked up, Justin. Like, we'll be on the sideline like, oh, yeah, I should have did this. And, you know, why didn't we rotate? Oh, yeah, we'll rotate next time. You know, trying to figure out how to keep winning. Like, but Carl not used to that. He used to us beating him and then going to the sideline, cracking jokes and no pressure, yep. You know?
Like, this is we to the extent where we own our own mistakes. This dude one time was like, are y'all watching game film?
Yeah.
What are y'all doing?
And yeah, he was like trying to make a joke. He was like, yeah, y'all trying to why y'all acting like y'all watching game film over here or some shit. And I was like, but this is the difference between why we rarely be over here on the sideline and you always be over here.
Yep, want to fix our mistakes, man.
And then he shut up. Because he went from, like, trying to make a joke to being like, damn, that's kind of a good point. I should probably listen to to them because they actually be trying to, like, they do win a lot off of just being smarter than everybody else.
Yep. It's owning up to your shit sometimes. It can make you a better person and a better player just over general. You know what I mean? Like, people, you fuck up sometimes. Just own your shit. And that's what we do. Like, right. we own it, and then we, you know, we don't harbor it. We don't be like, Rod, you fucked up three plays in a row now. We're like, Rod, come on, man. Rod be like, yeah, I fucked up. Let's keep it going.
Right, yeah. Like, I know I fucked up. I'm not going to, like, unless it's really, like, some, like, sometimes we'll joke on each other, or, like I'll say Justin fucked up when he didn't, and vice versa. But that's typically joke time. Or every once in a while you had a situation where, like, you really do disagree about how something is happening. Like, well, but it never gets to like anger. It's always like, so you do want me to double team and you don't, you know, something simple like that.
Yeah. We just want to come to a solution.
But this nigga Carl could not handle that.
He can't put the pussy on the chain wax.
No, he can't put the pussy on chain wax at all.
He can't handle the D.
He can't handle the D. For people that don't watch Key and Peele, we use Key and Peele catchphrases during basketball. So, it probably gets annoying to most people. Yep. But, it's fun to us.
We love it.
Yeah. So, so Carl fucks up. And, like, I couldn't help myself. And I know he's a little sensitive, but I didn't know he was this sensitive. But I was just like, Carl, what the fuck, man? Like, just lay it up, man. Like, just, like, it literally was like on some, like, a junior high schooler could have hit those layups. And so he was just like, no, man, if y'all just pass the ball, right? It was like, nigga.
I think everybody said nigga at the same time.
White people, like, people on the treadmill upstairs.
Yep. People are running around the track, stop, and say,
yeah, like, the passes could not have been more perfect, man. So that nigga, man, he started flipping on the team, like, and so I actually, like, tried to calm him down, like, dude, we just saying that the passes, no, the passes ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm like, look, man, you being way too excited about this. We just trying to make sure that the team is playing better. If y'all pass the ball, right, I said, nigga, I'll never pass it again. Like, right. Don't worry about that,
then. That's the next step.
Yeah, get these boards, then. Cause I'll fucking come down and shoot every time if you just want to be on the court.
The ironic thing is I co-sign you coming down and shooting every time and won't say a word.
Yeah. I mean, one, I rarely get to that point. Rarely. Like, I can't remember the last time I got to the, well, fuck it then. Like, I try my best to be reasonable, man. Like, I be coming up with excuses for niggas that don't even have an excuse for themselves. Like, oh, well, you know, man, Carl normally don't even get to shoot. So it's just a lot of pressure. He's playing with us. Like, I was doing all this in my head. And so finally I was just like, all right, man, well.
He's not used to being that open because they double teaming us. He's not used to that.
Yeah, they normally don't pass to him either.
Yep.
So, and I guess that's why. But still, like, he should just, I would have accepted my bad, man. Shit, you know, I fucked up. I would have took that just as much as anything else, but he got so defensive.
He took no accountability for none of his turnovers.
None. Not one. And I'm telling y'all, it was four or five mistakes. The game only goes to 20 by twos and threes. That's about 15 to 20 possessions. Maybe 25 if you're having a bad shooting day and you still find a way to win. It's not a lot of possessions. When you fuck up a quarter of those, you know what I mean? Like, we going to lose. Like, you're making us lose because of you, one person.
And it's so hard not to give the ball to a wide open layup.
Right.
Like, you want to give that person the ball.
Because that's just basketball, man. And we try to play good, reasonable basketball.
Yep.
So, so then this nigga, got mad or whatever that day. And when we left, he still had a little bit of an attitude.
Oh, he was mad.
And he said something to me before we left where it was like, maybe, like, it was either something like another reason it wasn't his fault or something like watch them passes, or just something petty where it's like, nah, man, it was either that or he tried to be on some, like, we friends now. And I was like, nah, you was out there tripping a little bit. you know? And I think I said something like, you know, I don't blame you. It was condescending, but I was like, I don't blame you because you're just not used to winning. So you don't understand the pressure that we deal with every day when we come out here. And, he got pretty, cause I think he was putting the olive branch out and I just snatched that bitch. Like, fuck you. Use the olive branch for a switch. Like, no. So then the next week, last Saturday, we were playing against them. And I think we started off and we won the first two games, maybe the first game.
We won the first three.
First three, okay. And then we lost when this team got back up. I don't even think he was on that team.
It was. It was Derek them that
beat us. Yeah, they beat us. And I same thing. I think we lost because.
And it was a close game.
Yeah, and I think we still ended up losing mostly because, not keeping up that intensity, man. Like, you got to take it serious, you know? And I felt like, you know, Damon and them, sometimes they get in this little zone, like, well, we winning, so we gonna make the play next time, you know? And I'm like, nah, you could have made it that time, though.
I don't got to box my man out.
Yeah.
Justin to get the rebound.
Little shit. It just adds up, you know? And we are, and it's like, once you have certain matchups, it changes shit we can do on the floor. So, like, normally I try to check somebody that I can help off of a little bit. You know what I mean? Or somebody that if we rotate right and I end up on a big man, it's still not a mismatch. You know, shit like that. Like, I'll check, like, if and then, you know what that was? You know why we lost that one, actually? The new buddy, little buddy, was trying to check Pat.
Yep.
And it was no fucking reason for that. We was like, why are you doing that? Like, you don't got it. I told him at the beginning, I said, let me check him and you check so-and-so. Nah, man, I got it. I was like, oh, this ain't about your pride, man. Like, we just trying to win.
Yeah, we know what we doing.
Yeah, if it was me checking that dude, that old-ass dude, Greg, that I just can't check. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's for the life of me, man. It don't matter how hard I do. Like, it's been games where I'm like, I'm going to rededicate myself to just, like, denying him the ball. And still, he'll get off on me. Like, it like I can't even figure it out. Like I'm sitting up there like moving my feet, keeping my hands up. It's like it's nothing I could do that will even when I get stops. Like say I make him go 0 for 5 to start the game. He won't stop shooting on me because he know it's gonna happen. He be like, eventually I'm gonna hit 4 in a row, and there's nothing he can do about it. So, you know, if somebody like whenever I see him on the court, I'll be like, no, someone else got to get him, because for the good of the team. Like my pride don't really mean shit to me. If we lose, you know what I mean? Yep. So yeah, dude made it a pride thing, wouldn't switch. Pat ate his ass up. We lost. It wasn't even really like it. That loss felt like a 10-point loss, even though we probably lost by like 4-3. Like it was close, but it didn't feel close at all. Cause this felt like if they wanted to score, they could just give Pat the ball.
Yep. And he got loose cause of Ray.
Yeah.
Cause he been lighting Ray ass up like.
Ray wouldn't walk out there it's all cause Ray won't walk over there to the three. It's not even like, cause if you think about it, it's not them tough ass layups he hit that kill you, really. Cause he only hits, what, two maybe? If you hit two or three of those a game, that's only 4 to 6 points. It's them sit there, look at you, oh, you really not gonna come out here. Well, let me take my time and shoot this three. And the whole time Ray looking like, should I walk over there? I guess swack. You know what I mean? Yep. So that's the shit that was killing us with that matchup. But anyway, man, so we play these games and we lose. And the last game, somehow we get Carl on our team. No, Carl is on the other team and their team was winning. Now Carl is the dude that was mad at me from last week when he was fucking up. I'm not exaggerating when I say this shit. This nigga fouled me every fucking time I had the ball. Like it was crazy. Like I'm talking about to the point where you can't call foul on every play, cause you would just would no plays would happen. But like if I tried to dribble, he fouled me on that shit. If I go to the hole, I'm definitely getting fouled. If I shoot a jumper, I'm getting fouled. And the jumper shit started like two games before when
He elbowed you one time.
Hold up. The jumper shit started two games before when Joe Sr. was talking about I couldn't shoot. Then I hit them two threes and then he fouled me every three after that.
Oh, yo.
So getting fouled wasn't like new. It was just on some like every play though. Like, it's nothing I could do that won't get me fouled. So, yeah, he, elbowed me, on offense, and I asked him, like, he was on offense, and I was like, is that how we playing, man? And he was like, what, man? Well, I ain't even do nothing. I said, so that's not a foul then. And he's like, nah. I said, okay. And we just kept playing. Then he started fouling me on, like, if I go to the hole, foul, push me out of bounds one time. I'm like, Carl, what are you doing, man? Like, and the thing is, I wasn't even upset on some, like, I'm about to fight you. It was just like, this is weird. Like no one is playing like this except you. And you know, if I did this to you, you'd be fucking about to cry in your damn Gatorade because somebody was hitting you. And I definitely don't play him like that. You know, like, I could.
We don't play anybody like that.
Yeah, I could. I just don't, because it's pointless.
We too good to be out there trying to play dirty like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We have integrity with our basketball game, too.
So this nigga, Carl, finally, man, like, fouls me, like, I don't know. Like, because at one point, I was like, I'm going to make a point to everybody how much he fouled me. Because I think we was down, like, 4 with, like, 2-3 minutes to go. Maybe 4 when we started that possession. Like, 4 minutes to go. And I was like, if I get the ball, I'm going to go to the hole, and I'm just going to keep calling foul until he stopped fucking fouling me, and we can just play ball. He still kept fouling me every fucking play. So finally, someone else shot it, and Carl got the rebound, and he held the ball above his head and away from him. Mm-hmm. So I slide down while he was looking the other way for some dumbass reason. He's holding the ball up away from him towards our basket, while looking the other way away from the basket. So I just slid over without touching him at all and knocked the ball out of his hands, like, straight up and towards me so I could, like, get the steal. This nigga called foul, y'all. After beating me like fucking
foul.
Yeah. Dog, he really beat me like Solomon Northrup, dog. For fucking 10 minutes. And called a no contact foul, dude. And I said, Carl, are you serious right now, dude? And he was just like, nah, man, right now, you touched me right here. I said, dude, you know, me and you both know I didn't hit you. You know, everybody else was like, nah, man, let's just play, disrespect the call. I was like, no, I don't respect the call. And yep. Keep in mind, I stole the ball fair and square. So the ball's still in my hand and it's my basketball.
Yep.
So now the rage is boiling inside.
And they have been cheating little calls all day.
Right. And we had been giving them to them. Like, so the rage was boiling, dog. Like, it was the rage inside of me. And I had the basketball. And they was like, and keep in mind, they begged us to play this game. Yep. I was ready to go home before this. I was like, well, we should just go. Fuck it. We don't have anything
else to prove.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's that point where they start cheating us anyway. Like, they always do late. Let's just go home anyway. And they was like, come on, man, we got enough. Just play one more. So-and-so will play. So-and-so will play. So I'm like, y'all begged us to stay so y'all could fucking cheat us? The audacity of you niggas, man. And the fact that his teammate was going along with it, knowing they was wrong. And I'm telling y'all, they had like a 6-point lead, and he had fouled so much of the clock away. It was only like a minute and a half left. So it wasn't even on some like, oh no, we need to, it's a close game, so we really need this call. They was just doing it to be like, fuck you niggas. We don't have no respect. We about to take this ball from you. Ain't shit you can do about it.
Nah, but you hit him with a classic line walking out the court too. It's like, fuck y'all. I can get cheated at home playing on my Xbox.
Yeah,
online.
Yeah, I said I could go home and get cheated on NBA 2K. Because they was like, nah, man, just play the game. I said, nah, I can get cheated somewhere else. Like, I'm not wasting my time to do this.
That shit was so hilarious.
Dog, I was so sincere too. I was mad as shit.
And well, it made it funny too, man. Cause while you walked onto the side, Damon and I both walked right over there with you.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, we rolled tight. You know what I'm saying?
That's why y'all my niggas though. Cause like, I would have done, like, it was just the perfect situation. One, I rarely do that. Like, I can't remember last time I did that. Right. But it was like a perfect shitstorm of like, nigga, it's a privilege to be playing against us all these weeks. Like, we could easily just be like, I don't feel like coming out there no more. And basketball would die there. Like, It's already whack out there unless we come out there and give them something to play for so they could do the whole like, oh, we don't like when these guys play together. We're gonna combine a super team till we find a way to beat them. Like, that's what make it fun. You know, honestly, I've been out there when it's just like me by myself. It's not fun, man. Like, it's a whole lot of like, damn, this is some terrible basketball.
Yep.
Like, you always end up with like a team of just like 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old dudes or some shit.
That just want to fire you.
Yeah, like it just don't be fun, man. Like, we actually provide variety and fun to what happens out there. And we had a right attitude to make it like fun. Like, when we the quote unquote bad guys, it's not in the cheating way or the like, we gonna come out here and intimidate you way. It's all like, oh man, we're just having fun kicking y'all ass.
And we keep winning and they keep getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah,
week
man.
In and week out.
So yeah, man, I hit them with that. Yeah, I can go home and get cheated, man. Like, this is stupid. Y'all want us to stay to get cheated? Cause they was, and the thing was, I know what they were doing. They was trying to rush the end of that game so they could be like, oh, let's just play another one. It's like, but this is two in a row now. Like, how many times are we supposed to get cheated and have a good attitude about it,
well,
dog?
Well, I need to go get some lubrication.
Right.
Is that next? Am I bidding over?
Like, we already won a couple y'all tried to cheat us out of. Now we got to go for this third. Nah, man, it's too much, dog. Like, you're going to respect. Like, it's one of those times you got to stand up for yourself and it'll make them respect you later. Like, it'll be this week that we see if that worked. Like, at that moment, I don't know shit. Because then this nigga Carl tried to walk by me at the end on some like, come on now, Rodney, you know that was a foul. I said, nigga, what are you lying for? It's just us now. The game over. I took my shoes off, dog. It's no need to keep up the front. Like, I don't know if you think it's just going to, like, other people listening. Nobody listening to us. You can stop lying. I would have probably stood up and dap hugged him if he would have been like, man, I know you ain't fouled me, man. I just didn't want to be embarrassed. I would have been like, you know what, dog? Like when Pat said that shit. Remember when Pat called that foul on me where I hit all ball out of bounds? He didn't even see me. And I just stole it from him. Like he was holding it out here looking at you. And I just yanked it from the side without touching him. And he was like, foul.
Yep. Nobody touched you.
Yeah, I was like, Pat, man, you know I ain't touch you. Man, I called a foul, man. I'm going to go. I said, okay, Pat. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. After that game, I came over to him and was like, cause, you know, I think we won that. And I was like, yeah, I know you call that bullshit foul though. And he was like, what foul? And I was like, you know, the one where I didn't touch you. The one where I stole the ball fair and square. And he was like, man, I just had to call something, man. I couldn't turn it over. And I was like, cool.
Like, we can respect the veteran call. I'm not turning the ball over. I'm calling foul.
I get it.
No turnovers.
Cause I get it. I'm not like, Cause you know what? The other way that you're telling me, the only other excuse, like if you don't say, look, man, I just called the shit. I know it was wrong, but fuck it. Sometimes you just fuck up. Players fuck up and I just wanted to get that call, right? If you say that, I go, I see why he did it. It was fucked up, but I see why.
Yep.
The only other way is that you just a bitch ass nigga. You can't tell me, hey, I'm just a bitch ass nigga. And I'm supposed to be like, well, I respect that too. Like you don't even have the fucking balls to own up to the fact that it was a bad call. Like, come on. Like, cause you just disrespected both of us at this point, yourself and me. Cause you know, I know it's a bad call. It wasn't even a 50-50 like, oh, you know how sometimes niggas do the 50-50 like, yeah, I ran through you, but I hit some ball too. Like, yep. It wasn't even those. I swear to God, y'all, it was no contact at all. Like, I didn't see you. I just held the ball out here and was like, damn, this nigga stole the ball. Foul. Like that, like honestly, man, I even respect the people that do it immediately. And you know, those people that do the like, foul. Oh man, you know what? Your ball. Like I respect that shit too. Cause it's like everybody has a little bit of bitch in them. Like we've all had that moment where you like, I could call that, but that's really more on me. Like, you know, the shot I shot, the fucking move I made, the layup I missed, like, mm-hmm. It's more like when you missed that layup today and dude, like, really was all over you. But you was like, it was left hand. I rushed it. Like, yeah, he basically landed on top of me and shit. But what would be the point? Like, I can't respect myself for missing that.
Yeah, I should have made the layup anyway.
Right. And people was actually stopping to give you the ball. Like, you want the ball? And you was like, nah, just play. and we went down the court and played, I can respect that. Cause a bitch ass person would be like, no, I want that foul. I don't make mistakes. It's an opportunity to come up. I'm like, nah, fuck that. And it was a close game too, man. So yeah, dog, fuck Carl. And, we'll be seeing him tomorrow, man. We'll see what he want to do tomorrow. Watch him try to be on the team. That's how he gonna try to fix
it. Yeah, all cause Damon and Ray not gonna be there. He gonna try to get on.
Yeah. He gonna try to fix it. He gonna try to be on the team.
He can be on the team. He will not get past the ball by me though.
Yeah. Oh, he ain't gotta worry about it. He don't gotta worry about it. He better not say a goddamn word either. I know, cause he the kind of nigga that don't want the ball anyway, really. If you really want to be honest about it, his worst nightmare is getting the ball because he'd rather just not be responsible for a mistake than be responsible for something good.
Now, would you want to spend a whole game passing him the ball? Like, here you go, Carl. Carl, hey, was that a good enough pass? Here you go, Carl.
only if it's late. Only if it's late and we making a point. You know what I mean?
Here you go, Carl.
Yeah.
Need more passes? Here you go.
Yeah.
Because we did that one day. It was somebody we was playing against. We just kept passing them the ball. I forget who it is.
Yeah.
And we was like, well, we not going to shoot the
Maybe
ball.
It was Rob. I don't remember.
It might have been. Yeah. It might have been because it was like a year. It's been a while. It was like over a year.
But God damn, man. It was the worst, yo. All right, so I forgot what we were supposed to be doing. Oh, what were we supposed to be playing, the Balls Deep song?
Yeah, we need to play the intro. It wouldn't load.
Oh, yeah, I got it, though.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
I'm talking about Balls Deep. I'm talking about Balls Deep. I'm talking about Balls Deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I wanna have sex with a personality. Try hump her positive traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate.
Ooh yeah.
Hey Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that. Where was I? We're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep in love. Hey, man, you know, I actually like the Cleveland show a lot.
Yep.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, it wasn't funny for, like, a year. And then, like, it just got funny. Like, I think they got Sanaa Lathan on the show and Reagan Gomez. I don't know if she was always on the show, but,
it
like.
It just grew on you, though.
But not, it, like, I really do think there was a difference between the first and the second season. Like, first season, it felt like they was doing a lot of, like, isn't it funny how Cleveland talks? Like, he'll just, you know what I mean? And the jokes wasn't landing with me.
Yep. And that's what got me was the first season. It turned me off.
Yeah.
The other season. But we think, too, remember, it was like they had to have different writers?
They definitely had to have, like, they had to hire some black people. Because then they started doing black shit, too. Like, when they started doing the episode about Auntie Mama, the Tyler Perry, what's that character?
Madea.
Yeah, the Madea clone. Like, that shit is brilliant. But
I haven't seen any of those episodes, but.
Oh, nigga. It's what's the wife's name? Whatever her name is, her mother who abandoned her had a brother named Kevin. And she thinks she was raised by Auntie Mama. Right, but turns out that Auntie Mama
is Kevin.
Like, he just invented invented this cross-dressing character, and he raised her the whole time, man. Donna, that's her name. He raised Donna, right? So then, like, Auntie Mama be doing all this, like, it's all these jokes, like you know, the voice of Auntie Mama is all like, "I'm outrageous," like that's how she talks. But then, like, every once in a while, she'll talk to somebody, and she'd be like, "Shut up." Cleveland, like they're like they got all these jokes. Like, you walk in the bathroom, Auntie Mama like standing up pissing or something, be like, You know, it's like, you be like, auntie, mama, get out the bathroom. Like, I'll be out in a second, honey. I'm outrageous. And they open the door and be like, get out! Like, so like,
yeah, they had to change writers, man. They had
to. So that shit was good, man. And, but it took like 2-3 seasons to get to that level. And that's when they got good. But, I always liked Rollo though.
The little boy?
Yeah. Yo. Rollo good. And then Junior, man. I fuck with Junior hard too, man. And Federline, the white dude that be trying to act black. It just took a while for some of the characters to develop, in my opinion, though.
Yep. And then they made Junior grow up real fast. Because they got two different Juniors from the Family Guy.
Dude, I love when they make the joke about the old Junior. Where they be like, yeah, do you put on all that weight? Because the old Junior was just like, I'm gonna play golf, Mr. Griffin. Teach you how to play golf. Ha ha. And then this Junior's all, you know, he's,
yep.
He's, you know, he's all, I want to have sex with a personality. So, yeah, man, whenever they make a joke about that shit, man, it's so good, man. Oh, my God. Or they make a joke about his old mama being dead. Oh, it gets me every time.
How they gonna joke his mama being dead?
Yeah, man.
I see, I hadn't watched it, but that's shit you do.
Yep. So,
let's make a good show.
Let's, what do we normally start with? The emails here?
Yep.
Let's do the emails and, see what people wrote in.
Normally, Dope Stacks got something good.
People got a lot of bullshit today. I feel sorry for y'all. I'm sorry. But, hopefully y'all enjoyed that banter. Storytellers, Jay Sarge writes in, Rod and Justin. I've been meaning to ask y'all, do y'all hate people who constantly talk about their past athletic achievement careers on the hoop court, but always the worst player out there? This has cost me too many pickup games because I always let other people pick the teams, but I always found out later that the person who picked the team was gassed off a sideline story or a stupid ass nickname like Hops, but doesn't realize that it's an ironic nickname till afterwards. Also, anyone who keeps emailing trash talk about fantasy football must not understand how fickle it is. I've been humbled too many times, so I hope y'all keep trash talking and sabotaging your own teams. Appreciate this show and all the laughs. Salute, Jay Sarge. All right, number one. Yeah, I played with those dudes that always talk about the old days, but I really got one story that really sums it up, man. I played with this dude at the Dawa, the one where they niggas want to fight and shit. And I was playing on a team that had, hey, you remember Yogi, Jamaican dude?
Yep.
All right, I was playing on a team with Yogi. And you know, Yogi played overseas and shit, but you know, and Yogi's like a computer programmer. He's smart as fuck. And he's Jamaican. He got super duper strong, like Jamaican accent and shit.
And he looks super duper strong too.
Nigga, he like the Hulk. So I was playing on Yogi's team, which is enough pressure as is, cause Yogi likes me, but anybody that fucks up, he always talks shit. Like, you know, he always got something to say, man. One time, man, a white dude was on our team, and he was one of the white dudes that was sorry. And you could tell because, like, he dressed in the full outfit, like Michigan State shorts, Michigan State jersey, Michigan State headband, green shoes. You know, like one of those dudes. Well, he just like, dude, you're trying too hard. You must be sorry. So he was like, yeah. Dude fucked up like 2 or 3 times, right? And I was on the other team. I was checking dude. So he fucked up like 2 or 3 times. I scored on him a couple times. And then Yogi finally goes, cause then the dude double dribbled. And so the Yogi was like, no, stop. No, you can't be double dribbling mine and all this shit. And so a couple plays later, someone got the rebound and he started dribbling up the court. Why did Yogi run across the court right up to the side of his ear, dog, and was like, don't ever dribble! You do not ever dribble! Give me the ball! And, like, yanked it out on like a butt. Like, that white boy was gonna cry, dude.
As big as Yogi is, you give him the ball.
Yeah, and so that's how scary Yogi is, alright, guys? So this motherfucker that, at the Dow, who was playing against us, he was like an older dude. Like, I was probably about 27, 25 maybe. And he was probably about like 35, you know, about that age, you know, maybe 40 at the most, but I don't think he looked 40 at all. And so this nigga was like, fouling me and shit, which was, you know, at that wide is different. Like, they play like I played in Fayetteville, like at Park Row Park. You just don't call your foul, really. You just play through it. And, you know, every once in a while a nigga call a foul, but it's normally gotta be some blatant shit. So dude was fouling the fuck out of me. And, you know, I was just calling my foul, like, pretty much, you know, like, all right, my ball, man. Cause it would be like after I did a good move. But then on his end, this nigga was like calling shit when he wasn't getting touched. Everybody was like, dude, what are you doing? And he started like getting defensive, talking about, man, I played NC State. Look me up, man. Look me up. Play with NC State. Play with Chris Cortiani, Rodney Monroe. Don't worry about me. I'm a baller in these streets. I played overseas. What you do? What you do? And keep in mind, I hadn't said a word to the dude. Like, literally. Because when I go to the dad, I don't talk shit because niggas will shoot you.
They do shoot in the dad.
Yeah. I don't ever talk. It go back to Fayetteville. Like, the Fayetteville rules come into hand. I don't know you. I ain't trying to fight with you. I just want to play ball.
And one time they had to rule no duffel bags in that jail.
Right. Because niggas will shoot you straight up. So, you know, I'm sitting up there like, God damn, man. Like, one of these crazy niggas. But, you know, I'm still, I got Yogi on my team, so I can't even take the game. You know, I can't pull to like, man, let me just lose and leave. So, you know, whatever. So, like, dude was forcing the most bricks, man. Like, he was just forcing shots and then calling foul. Like, no contact. Like, shoot a three, brick it. And then, like, so finally, Yogi got in his ass like, dude, you fucking terrible. You keep talking. You know, but it was in that Jamaican, like, you know, like, you keep talking, you not. Because Yogi also got, like, a lot of gruffness to his voice. Like, you know.
And he don't smile ever.
Right. He's like, you not good, man, and all this shit. So, dude was like, man, fuck y'all, nigga, I am good, blah, blah, blah. Proceeded to go, like, 1 for 10 or some shit. Like, just shooting, 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 call foul, shooting, shooting. Like, it was so fucking infuriating. But I knew it was getting to him because I wasn't talking shit and he wished I was. And then anytime I did something, he would just like grab me like, nah. Like if I try to cross him, he'll just grab both my arms. I'm like, foul, man. And so finally, man, like I actually got it in the paint, cause Yogi wanted me to kill him. Like Yogi was like, do him and all this shit, which I hate, by the way. Like it's a beef between y'all. Keep me out of it. Cause I can do him on the low while y'all arguing and then it won't be a problem. But if you make a big deal out of it, he gonna start taking it personal. So everybody, do him and shit. So he gave it to me in the paint. I did a fadeaway where the dude literally pushed me in the air as I was fading away. So I flew a long way and I hit the shot too without calling it. So when the shot went in, he's like, oh man, your ball, man. And I just, like I said, I hadn't been saying a word the whole game. I just started running the other way down the court. Like that point's good. Let me go play defense now. Because I was letting the shot talk for itself. Like, yeah, nigga, you actually did foul me and I hit it. And he was like, nah, man, I gave you ball. And so finally I was just like, nah, man, I ain't call anything. He's like, I gave it to you though. I was like, yeah, you pushed me in the air when I was shooting it. The shot's good. I ain't call anything. And so Yogi's like, man, fuck you, man. You don't play for no NC State. You don't play overseas. You terrible. He's like, man, fuck you, nigga. I played in Italy, bitch. I'm fucking, man. That's like just going off like for 5 minutes, man. Like just over and over. We beat him and shit. And, you know, dude ain't even fucking score. Then he was on the sideline telling everybody to look him up, telling everybody his government name. I looked him up. Not on the team. Like, he ain't say he was a red shirt. He ain't say he was a walk-on. He ain't say I was injured. He said he was on the fucking team. He said he played the third most minutes behind Cortiani and Rodney Monroe. He wasn't on the team, dog. He told us to look up his government. That's the craziest story I ever heard. Cause it was like, you are actually bragging on past athletic achievements you ain't achieved.
The internet is real.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, it was like, you know, years ago, but we all had like fucking, you know, flip phones with rudimentary internet.
Yep.
Like, and I remember putting his name in there, like, I'm going to look this dude up because he says he was nice. And I actually, you know, played better than him and won. But now I want to look him up to see, like, should I even be proud of that? No, he just a nigga, man. Just a regular ass nigga. That's the worst. Like, someone talking about surpassed achievements story that I have. Just
see, when I think of Yogi, I think about the time he choked light skinned dude
Lawrence
in the gym. Nope, not Lawrence. Lawrence was cool. Lawrence was too smooth to get be choked. The other light skinned dude, I used to call him Monkey Man because. He used to work out all the time.
Tony. Yes. Tony, yeah, he choked the fuck out of Tony.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Tony earned that, though. Yep. Tony, you know, Tony was my nigga, man. I used to go down his house, but he earned that one. Like, me and Tony was cool, but I just watched that shit happen. I was like, I hope you ain't expect me to do nothing.
He was talking shit to
you. But you know what's funny, though, is Tony was sobered up by that choking.
Yep.
Like, we was on the sideline. I was like, dude, I don't know what got into you, man. Why you was talking to Yogi like that? He was like, I don't know what got into me either.
Cause he used to talk shit to everybody.
Yeah.
And most people just like, man, calm your ass down and keep on playing. But Yogi don't play them games.
Yogi swung on Derek too. My friend White Derek, I don't know if you know Derek.
I heard the stories on. Like, yeah, you know, Yogi, he might not be here today, Derek.
Yeah, Yogi barely missed this nigga with a hook, a right hook. And Derek, it missed him. I thought I was watching from behind. It looked like it hit Derek. So I was like, oh shit, Derek took that, Derek took that punch and didn't go down. But then Derek, like, as soon as Yogi swung, Derek calmed all the way down. Like, come on, man, come on.
Hey, cause Yogi ain't about talking.
Yeah.
Like you talking shit to Yogi. Yogi just straight to, well, I need to punch you now. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, what?
And then Tony Casey choked him.
And
nobody broke it up either.
Hell no.
Nobody went over to be like, you know, nobody went over to be like, Yogi, let him go.
Hey, man, you want to know what's funny, dog? If you talk to Yogi off the court,
cool as hell.
100% cool. Nothing intimidating about him at all. Like, I've seen him in, like, his work clothes or his glasses on. I mean, still a big ass nigga, don't get me wrong. But, like, when you talk to him, it's totally different. I'm like, yo, what's up, Yogi dog? I ain't know you worked the door in this game. He's like, oh, Rod, what's up, man? You know, I just, you know, programming at my job, you know, dealing with these white people. Like, he always get into that. These crackers are crazy. I'm like,
okay.
Like, okay. Ain't you married to a white
guy? I was going to say.
You not see you with your white skin, baby? Well, okay. But yeah, man, he a cool ass dude, man. But nigga, do not test him, man. He will fuck you up.
He like, live for them days.
Bruh, he tried to pull that threatening shit with me one time. And I sobered him up so fast. Cause I was like, we talk about your daughter every day. You gonna hit me? Like, it wasn't like, I couldn't say nothing tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, hit me, nigga. I had to like, hit him with reality. Like, nigga, we sit here every day and talk about rap. And this how you want to do your boy? And then like, it made him sober up just enough the way he was like, ball out then, man. And then later on, he was like, I'm sorry, man. These white people at work. I hear you, dog. I don't want no problems. That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah, man. Yogi was cool as hell. Just angry.
Yeah. But thanks for the email, Jay Sarge. Totally, I forgot about that nigga, man. I hate that dude. Peyton writes in. He says, the Guardian Croatian boxer viciously attacks referee at European Youth Championships. So I guess there's a video of this.
So Youth Championships, that's a kid.
Yeah, let me put this in the chat and turn the volume up. Let's see if you guys can see this. All right. Where's the sound? Hold on. Is it supposed to not have sound or did the camera not have sound? Because I swear I got the... I got this volume up for everything. Okay, so I guess the video doesn't have sound, so let's just describe it. Let's see. Looks like boxes in the corner.
I don't know which corner to look at.
Yeah, like who did what? What's the problem? The ref comes over. It looks like he's talking to the dude in the blue. All right. Telling the dude in the red to come over, checking his gloves.
Damn, he walked straight to the ref.
Oh, shit. Oh, he beating the ref ass. Oh, dude in the blue ring. Oh, nigga.
He sucker punched the ref.
Damn, and they grabbed dude. They took dude out by his leg, yo. Son. What was he declaring the fight over or something? Let me see if I can go to the beginning. Like, they came out, they corners. I don't get it. What's the, okay. So then they start fighting. Was the fight short as shit or something? Okay. So he broke the fight up and he gave the,
oh, dude in the blue threw his hands up like he won.
He gave the dude in the red a warning or something.
It's like he counting.
Oh, he counting them out. He counting them out.
So I guess he must be bleeding or something. He must, you know what? He probably bleeding or something.
Was he trying to say he wasn't conscious? He couldn't, he had a concussion or something? Anyway, so yeah, now they took off the gear and then that's when I guess he went to declare the fight over. Oh, he went to do the thing after where you're supposed to tap hands, like, hey man, y'all, chill out, man, tap hands. Oh, yeah. And dude just start welling on his ass. Dude in the blue really ran though, man. Like he won. I guess he was like, this ain't overtime. What I'm
gonna, I'll get paid for this.
Yeah. What I'm gonna fight for. Damn. He laid that ref out, man. Why are you trying to get him up? Then he let him lay down.
Yeah. Damn. Let him relax. Let him suck in all the air he can. Relax.
Someone need to count him out. Like, what if they would have been like, one, two, you lost two, nigga. Two losses. Damn. They had to basically carry this dude out. They grabbed him by his leg and got him out of there, man. I know that ref ain't see that coming.
In them countries like that, though, man, he gotta go and hide or something, right? Like, I assume the ref owned, like, an AK-47.
Well, dude got banned from boxing for a lifetime, I think. So he can never box again.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, Croatia's Vito Lončar sparked outrageous scenes at the European Youth Boxing Championships when he launched a vicious assault on the referee after losing his bout to Zagreb. Lončar, clearly unimpressed with the ref's decision to award the bout to his opponent, Algirdas Beniulis.
That dude.
Yeah, him, you know, Algirdas B. Of Lithuania vented his fury by attacking the official, knocking him to the ground for continuing his assault with a flurry of punches. Benulius quickly fled the scene while Lončar had to be dragged from the ring by his ankles before the referee was eventually up to his feet. Son. Yeah, that's gotta be a ref's worst nightmare, man.
Yep.
Like, he never, how you ever ref a game again, man? Like,
cause I don't imagine them getting paid that much. Like, this, like it ain't, like, yeah. Like y'all ain't paying enough for this shit.
Yeah, he got banned for life, so.
Man, you got to sue that dude personally, too, and take whatever little money he got civilly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this. Because I'm sure that ref, like, had injuries at that point. I'm sure he had hospital bills.
And you know it wasn't worth the money because they don't even have sound on the camera. So you got your ass whooped for pretty much peanuts. $7.50 an hour.
$25 a match.
Yeah, for $25 a match, you got your ass whooped for nothing. Good grief. AJ the Engineer writes in, BDS, the Falcons. What up, Childish Gambino and J Trill?
What'd he do?
Great show last week. I enjoyed the analysis of Durant's shortcomings in the eyes of Monica Wright. I thought a pro like Durant would know better. But I gotta talk about football. I'm a Falcons fan, and again this year, we're having issues on both sides of the ball, even though we have one of the best wide receiver duos in the league. Of course, you can have local, of course, you have local Atlanteans talking about saying it's Matt Ryan's fault for the direction the season is going. At this point in time, I'm looking at the coaching and GM decisions for why we are 2-5. It seems every other team in the NFL knows that defense is a necessity to hold leads and win games. But the Falcons still rely on their fast-paced offense. But how can that offense be fast when Steven Jackson's slow ass is still getting the majority of the rushing attempts?
I'm shocked he's still healthy.
Dude, first of all, they have a weird issue because they have a nigga that he touches the ball like 4 times a game and gets a touchdown pretty much every game. I forget his name.
It's not Freeman. It's that other dude.
The other nigga.
Because Freeman, the one, came from Florida State.
Yeah, this nigga, like, he barely be in the game, and every week on the highlights he get a touchdown.
And he not the fullback either. He's just a regular running back.
How do you make the argument that he shouldn't touch the ball at least an extra 10 more times, but Steven Jackson should get all them carries? I don't get it.
It's like they deliberately fucking with Steven Jackson's number so they don't got to pay him no bonuses. When it's time to re-up, be like, well, you only got like 10 touchdowns this whole season.
Well, honestly, it ain't even like that because Steven Jackson couldn't make those plays of his life depending on it. Like, even if they gave him them 5 extra carries, it wouldn't matter. Like, he that bad. Like,
no, I mean, just when this goal line carries, they still be like, nope, not you, Steven. call in the rookie.
But yo, I watch the games, dog. This nigga be calling himself out. I'm not joking, Justin. He'll finally make 3 5-yard runs in a row or something, so they get in the goal line territory. And then he'll just be like, all right, I'm good. Somebody else can have this touchdown. I'm gonna just go on over here, y'all. Like, I don't get their system at all. He seemed like a dude that's just happy to get his check at this point. So why put him in the game at all? I don't get it. He says, I could rant for a while, but I'd like to know if you and Justin were the owner of the Falcons, what type of moves would you make so the team could at least get past first round of playoffs? Peace, AJ the engineer. Well, I'm gonna tell you something you don't want to hear, bro.
The person he mentioned.
Yeah, I do think Matt Ryan is a problem.
Yep.
I don't believe in him.
Hey, you got to get rid of that quarterback. You got to get a quarterback like Michael Vick. Right now, y'all, all quarterbacks not named Michael Vick. You know what I mean?
It's not necessary. I understand the logic that the Falcons and Falcons fans were employing when they were happy to have Matt Ryan. Because I think people are being a little bit like doing some revisionist history when they try to act like it was such a bad decision. Nah, it was a great decision. That Mike Vick shit was so real. And you rarely get a chance to just overhaul everything in one pick. And Matt Ryan was that dude. He was white. He wasn't mobile. He was good PR. And he was like a classical quarterback. And he wasn't terrible. Yep. You know? Like, that's all they needed was just a dude to not... Just somebody. Because I think first it was... Was it the dude from... that went to the Texans first? Was that the dude that started there for a while? Because he used to be Mac Vick's backup. And then he went to Texas. Everybody thought he was good. Found out he really wasn't good.
I just remember Michael Vick and Matty Ice. I remember them deliberately being like, nope, we have a new quarterback and we don't want Michael Vick back. And we want our money back.
I can't remember if they, between.
It had to be like the rest of that season or something.
Yeah. Oh, and that player was Antoine Smith. Yeah. Yeah. It was the rest of that season. And then they drafted that dude, the new dude, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I understand it and I actually don't have a problem with that, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Y'all got to move. Y'all got to let that go.
It's just not going to happen for that dude. Like, that's my belief. Now, here's the thing. I understand not moving on only because of this. If you want to be 100% real about it, you don't need a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Like
Flacco.
Yeah. Flacco, Eli won two. Like Eli, if you look at his career, is not great at anything.
And you know, I used to, I think we went back and forth about this at one time, but Roddy White, the problem too.
Why is he the problem?
You got Julio Jones commanding double teams and Roddy still putting up white numbers.
Yeah. Roddy, the name on the back of the jersey, it don't mean anything. He not that dude no more.
Yeah. Like, he putting up white numbers. He part of the issue too. And
like, he got old fast, man. What people forget is he was actually there 1 year with Mike Vick. So he old. He 32.
He been there for a long time.
Yeah, like, you know, it's okay for him to be old now. It's okay for him not to be, you know, a good NFL player. I don't think anybody, like.
But he not even putting up Steve Smith, like, I still got to respect you on this sideline over here, numbers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is what it is, man. Like, it's not that he's incapable of having a good game. It's just, it's like Larry Fitzgerald. You're going to have more bad games than good at this point because it's just an age thing, man.
Yeah, what's that? Two catches?
Two catches for 226. I mean, for 26. Three for 40. But there's 9 for 100 against the Ravens. Like, and he's not going to, like, he's, like I said, he's not terrible or anything like that, in my opinion. It's just the days of being like, yeah, you can depend on him to give you, you know, a consistent, you know, 100 yards and a touch. The day is just done.
And the other thing is the coach said it on Hard Knocks. Y'all a soft team.
Yeah.
The coach said, we not going to be soft this year. It's just words. What are actions?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, he had a really good run. 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,300 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards. Like, I mean, dude had a pretty good run of it, man. I just think it's a wrap.
And then right he fell off immediately.
Yeah, I don't remember
it an injury?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember if he got injured that year. Because remember, they were doing so bad at one point. It was like, we need to pack this shit in and just like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, why are we trying to win at this point? We should be trying to like, do something else with our lives. Trying to see if he missed a lot of games that year. Why won't this shit just bring up just his stats? Here we go. All right, let me check out NFL.com. Please don't play a video. NFL.com be straight up like, yeah, we about to play this video though real quick.
No stop button on that shit.
Yeah, you don't mind, do you? Oh, you do? Well, too bad, nigga. Well, he played 13 games last year. If I remember correctly, he was kind of banged up a lot of those games, played anyway. Julio Jones wasn't healthy. And you basically realize he can't be a number one receiver anymore, you know, which, you know, sucks to find out. But, you know, that was the way I was looking at it. I was like, oh, well, this just means Roddy White is not your number one guy anymore. So I think people still look at the name on the back of the jersey. Like they might need to, if they want to go the offense route, they might need to draft another good wide receiver.
Yep. They went and got older with Devin Hester. Young boy, I think that they did have, I think he got hurt or they cut him.
Yeah.
That they were showing the hard knocks actually had them big ass hands, long speed. He was just learning football. Like it was his first time still learning football. Instead of working with him, I think they cut him.
Yeah. Oh, he missed 3 games in the middle of the season, but he finished the season healthy, man. Like he just didn't put up big numbers really, man. He only had a couple good games. Now, some of that's because Matt Ryan, in my opinion, is not that great a quarterback. And it's not that he's terrible. It's just they treat him like he's better than he is. If they want to be real about it, they probably need to treat him a little bit more like Dallas does Romo this year. And like they do, who was that? Andy Dalton, Big Ben, like kind of like give him a defense that could get him some stops and a running game that could protect him from his own mistakes. Then I think you got something, but with the money he makes, it's probably hard to justify not throwing the ball a whole lot of times. And y'all defense is terrible. I mean, I don't know what, but the thing is, I don't know when y'all defense ever got good. Like, it felt like y'all defense always was mediocre and it just suddenly got terrible. Like, it never felt like the Falcons have ever had a really good defense other than the Super Bowl year.
Just wasted them years with Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about it, too, man. Like, even when you had Roddy that was putting up the numbers, you still had another number two and Tony Gonzalez. And
now y'all ain't got that.
Now y'all don't got that, but y'all got Julio. And it's like, y'all about to waste Julio.
Yeah.
Let him come to Washington. We'll waste his talents.
Y'all need to give that nigga the, y'all need to give my other nigga the ball, though, because, like, Anton Smith. The dude with be touching the ball 4 times to get a touchdown. There's no reason he shouldn't be in the game way more snaps than any other running back, really.
He can become Fred Jackson.
Right.
That's what he kind of is now. That's why I drafted Fred Jackson on my fantasy team, because Fred used to get all the touchdowns.
Mr. Span writes in, Balls Deep Sports / Duncan Stories. Man, sitting up listening to y'all about dunking on niggas made me think back to when I could get up and shit on a nigga.
LOL. This man right there like he an old ass man with a cigar and slippers on.
Hey, man, you dunking on niggas in Detroit, though. You know you doing some serious dunking. I'll allow it. I know he got some basketball almost get shot scores.
I wonder how he feel about Batman, the black Batman.
Yeah. He said, LOL, actually, dunking is kind of what got me out of playing ball regularly. I remember last time I dunked on a nigga, I used to work at this warehouse where they sold equipment when I was about 21. After work, a lot of guys would go to this park and hoop, so I decided to go one night. It was a pretty sloppy game because I was sort of the new guy, wasn't getting the ball much, but then my opportunity came. On an outlet pass, I get the ball at half court, and there was only one dude in front of me, a guy everybody called Big Cat. At half court, I already made up my mind that I'm dunking on him. So I made my jump and saw my eyes get real big. Like, I saw his eyes get real big. Like, I know this nigga don't think he about to dunk on me. But I threw it down on him. And before I could even enjoy the euphoria of the classic posterization, this dude just suffered. He pushed me and in landing, trying to brace myself, tore my knee. He never heard the end of it from guys at the job. So word to the wise, if you're gonna dunk on niggas, make sure you hooping with good sports. All right, let me finish listening to the show. Good job, fellas. Peace, Mr. Span. Damn, he pulled a Carl on you. Yeah, man, you gotta be careful with these motherfuckers. Not everybody even know how to damn just take getting dunked on and leave it at that, man. I've seen it before. I saw a dude try to catch an alley and got undercut and dislocated his shoulder.
Yep.
I was like, see?
And they'd be like, just walk it off, basketball plays.
And I had just told dude, we need to lose this game and leave. Because it was a whole bunch of inmate-looking niggas. And he was like, nah, they not going to punk me at my court. I said, nigga, your name ain't on Seabrook Park fucking logo. Is your last name Mr. Seabrook?
Yeah, let it go. Otherwise, let it go.
Yeah, because these niggas about to kill us up here over some goddamn basketball, man. But, yeah, man, you be careful with all that dunking, man. Another time this dude got dunked on, went to the car, got a gun. He tried to say it's by his daddy or some shit, but I think he was just embarrassed.
Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Daddy. Can you please talk to the officer? So, all right, let's get into these stories.
Yo, Denver winning right now. John Elway all for that. He need all that.
To keep his daddy keep that story out.
Yep, keep it from making big news. They start losing, boy, they'll start talking about everything Denver.
Let's talk about our NFL picks last week, man. I did terrible. I only got 7.
I got 9. I'm averaging 9 a week.
My second worst week. Actually, I've gotten 7 3 times. So
damn.
7 is my worst.
I average 9 a week.
I'm still tied for 15 somehow. Guess everybody's missing. Ghostface Killer is killing it, though. He got 71. 94%. 95%. And Karen is 8th with 67. So, and where are you at?
I'm probably still down at 15.
25.
Damn. 25. I'm averaging 9 a week. How is this happening?
Yeah.
I gotta stop picking Washington. Even though this week they playing the Cowboys. You know I'm picking Washington.
You gotta pick Washington now.
Got to.
Come on now. That ain't your fault. So last week I got the Patriots. That was easy. I was playing the Jets.
Yep.
I picked the Falcons over the Ravens.
I got the Ravens.
I was tripping. I don't know what I was thinking.
I got that Buffalo.
Minnesota, Buffalo. I got that. Buffalo beat Minnesota. I missed the Bears beating Miami, man. Didn't everybody?
Right. Who?
Look at that green.
And that was an ass whooping too, man.
Yeah, look at that green. God, I hate Jay Cutler. He the worst. Talk about what can they do to protect Jay Cutler. That's what they need to be doing. Cincinnati Bengals played the Colts. I got that. I got the Colts 27-0.
Damn, they fucked them.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. Andy Dalton is terrible. He's terrible. Like, he needs the best receiver in the NFL to just be good. That's a lot, man. You know what I mean?
That's a lot. That's why AJ pacing himself coming back, man. Right. You fucking up my team, dog. You been out 3 weeks over his toe.
What's the difference between, what's really the difference between Andy Dalton and Jake DeLone? Honestly. Think about it. Think about it, man. Cleveland Browns, lost to Jacksonville.
Man,
son.
I know, man. Cleveland, how y'all 3-3 losing to Jacksonville?
You son of a bitch, man. We was just starting to be like, maybe it's real. Fuck you, Cleveland. Fuck you. Fuck your whole state. fuck LeBron for going back to y'all. I can't believe I believed in y'all.
Fuck Josh Gordon getting high all the time off that good weed.
You know you're going to fuck up and not get to come back somehow.
Still got them DUI charges.
The Lions beat the Saints. I did have that. They eked it out by 1 point, even without Calvin Johnson. And the only reason I did is because I actually thought the tight end for New Orleans wasn't gonna play, Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
He did play, but I couldn't change my pick by then, so I still got the point.
He wasn't supposed to be playing, man.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have been out there because he shit. The Packers beat the Panthers. I picked the Panthers because I thought the Packers was due for another disappointing outing.
I got that right.
I was absolutely wrong. Justin was right. He said Julius Peppers was gonna be mad, and poor Cam, he was doing everything he could. Like, I be feeling bad for Cam now because like he started running is so bad. Like, he like, fuck it, let me just run, and they still be losing.
Yep.
The Redskins lost to, beat the Tennessee Titans. I missed this one.
I finally got it right twice.
Twice. You 2-5 hey, with the Redskins.
But they had to bench, your boy, Star McCoy. I mean, during the middle of the game.
If I had known that, I would have done it, you know. But
Cousins, that's who they bench Cousins.
I'm going to miss Cousins, Kirk Cousins being a thing. I really like trolling Redskin fans with quarterback controversy.
And this man, Robert, making it a controversy.
Right.
Like, I've been telling you all along, look, that dude's your backup. No, he your backup. You the starter. Stop trying to press.
Right. Stop, like, rushing back from injuries and playing terrible and then being like, well, maybe I'm on the hot seat.
Yep. McNabb.
Just get healthy.
McNabb never worried about any of those things.
Right.
And he tried to tell you that.
The Seahawks played the Rams. I missed this one.
Nigga.
So did the rest of the world. But let me stop and give myself a pat on the back, because we might have lost the game. But my nigga Russell Westbrook. I told y'all niggas at the beginning of the year. I'm telling, he's the last. Like, I drafted this dude so late because I was like, this the year. I'm telling you, you know how comfortable I felt about, they was losing at halftime, getting smashed. I was so excited. I said, yo, Rush about to go off and get me all the fantasy points.
Man, I was looking at that like, yes, he ain't scoring. Marshawn Lynch ain't doing shit. Is he hurt? I kept looking. I was like, is he hurt?
Yeah, no. Dog. I was like, it's no way Russ don't kill him. Cause they gotta unleash Russ. And he don't always get a chance to get unleashed. And he had something to prove. Cause Percy wasn't there. He had something to prove too. Yo, he brought them back to the brink, dog. They lost.
Man, I'm so mad at myself about this game. Cause I looked at it and I was like, man, Baldwin not gonna have a good game. I mean, I'm gonna sit him on the bench. He ain't gonna do shit. Like, I gave you both of them victories. I beat myself.
We'll get to that. We'll get
God
to that.
God damn it.
Yeah.
He's starting this week. He better do something. Shit, I'm writing a letter otherwise.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I got a letter for Peyton Manning too.
What for? What,
man, if he give anybody else touchdowns other than Demaryius Thomas next week, nigga, he gave Emmanuel Sanders like 3 touchdowns last night. I'm mad as fuck about that. He the third, fourth option.
Yeah, you know, I put up about 55 points on Karen last night, right?
Yeah, Sanders.
I got Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Gates.
Damn.
5 TDs last night,
man,
so.
Karen need a hug, man.
Mm-hmm.
You slept on the couch last night, didn't you?
I did. But you know, it don't matter.
You had to.
Don't matter. I was watching Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. And I was also getting away with murder at the time.
Because the ass whooping like that, when you hand out that ass whooping, you got to sleep, babe. I'm sorry. I'm just going to sleep on the couch because I know you mad right now. I ain't even put hands on you, but this ass whooping I'm giving you, this is spousal abuse.
Yeah.
It's, damn. And Tony, he put up what, 2 touchdowns?
2 touchdowns.
And yards?
Yeah. And then Manuel had a career night.
And man, I got Hillman, the running back for Denver. Mm-hmm. They called back his 40-yard run touchdown.
You got Demaryius Thomas and the running back, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Then, on top of that, they gave 2 goal line runs to the fullback.
To the fullback, dude. I know. I was like, man, I'm glad I don't own none of these motherfuckers on the running side. Seahawks lost to the Rams in a huge upset. Jeff Fisher did every trick play you could think of. And they all worked. That fake punt, one of the all-timers, dude. That fake punt reception where they acted like they was getting the punt on the one side.
Yep.
And it was actually on the other side. That dude just ran it right for a touchdown. I was like, that's brilliant.
I didn't think people still fell for that.
I've never seen it before until, I mean.
Because the kicker tell you where he kicking the ball prior to him kicking it.
But maybe they thought he fucked up. They was like, oh, it must have went over here even though he said he's kicking it to the left. Well, they'll come up with something for that next time.
They can't see the ball in around the field?
No. They say they never really do.
Damn, these motherfuckers. I mean, I hate to call football players dumb. But
yeah.
I mean, damn. Come on. Like, what, the receivers? That's like telling receiver, don't look up for the ball.
I mean, I guess because it slows you down to actually get into the dude. And not to mention, if you look up, maybe you can get someone running to you on a block and, like, fuck you up.
I'm just saying at the same time, is it?
But you got the helmet on. It seemed like it would be really difficult, to be honest with you. So what was I gonna say?
Talking about that kick and how the trick.
Oh no! Next game, Kansas City Chiefs, San Diego Chargers.
Man, I can't believe this too.
I had the Chargers winning. There was 5-1 at the time.
Yep.
Kansas City was struggling. It was 2-3 or some shit.
Still got Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm. And them niggas won.
Still got Alex Smith.
And this is my fault, because I thought Kansas City was coming off a bye, and Andy Reid never loses off a bye. So it's my fault. Dallas Cowboys played the New York Giants, and I got that right. Cowboys mm-hmm. beat the Giants. Giants not good. They 3-4. Eli Manning's not good. I don't care.
And that was my game to prove it. Yeah. Well, last week I was like, the week before I was like, oh, the Cowboys, you know, they depend on what they do next week. And when they play the Giants, it'll decide how they're going to do for the rest of the season. And they real right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't believe it. 6-1. I'm not buying it. Arizona Cardinals played Oakland Raiders. Arizona won, of course. Oakland is now 0-6.
I can't believe Jacksonville won a game before Oakland.
Dude, what? San Francisco lost to the 49ers.
I picked
49ers. And they got their ass whooped, and I got it right.
I picked 49ers.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, though. I mean, people thought that that defense was going to be more real, but Peyton not scared of them. Peyton was like, I'm about to try to get this record.
Peyton was like, I beat my woman, too. You just mm-hmm. don't hear about it.
And Houston, Texas lost to the Steelers. I got that wrong.
I got that wrong, too. And Houston could have won. Man, J.J. Watt do everything he can to win the game by himself,
I mean,
man.
Dude, on the low, though, I feel bad for Arian Foster. They be wasting his games, man. Like, he be like, nigga, I don't have a whole lot of 130-yard games in me to just be giving away. And y'all give them away every week.
That's how Andre Johnson feel, man.
Yeah, they got the most struggle. But see, Andre Johnson stopped producing at some point. Like, he'll have a big game every 5 weeks now. Arian Foster, like, if he gets out there, he gonna give you his best. Like,
ever since he had that rookie, burning the coals up of his ass for them minutes, he was like, oh, I can't relax. I actually have to play. I can't do what Andre does.
All right, let's pick this week games, man. Chargers, I got last night. Denver Broncos beat the Chargers. I had the Broncos. So
you know, I keep every week I piss against the Broncos.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Next week I'm picking the Broncos.
So you missed it last night?
Yeah, I picked the Chargers.
The hell was you thinking?
Man. I like Phillip.
I do too. They ain't got shit to do with Peyton Manning and that pain train coming to town. Peyton don't care about my feelings. I really like Cam Newton. Yeah, guess what? I like winning. Fuck you.
Figured they would do well. I forgot they don't have running backs.
All right, I'm going back to the well again.
Or defense.
Going back to the well again. Detroit Lions at Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Detroit.
Taking the Falcons.
I'll go to Detroit.
Taking the Falcons.
And you picking them why?
Say what?
You picking them why? I mean, I'm not trying to change your pick.
Because I think the Falcons at home are better than on the road. And I think Calvin Johnson still hurt. And I just think they're going to win.
That quarterback's still better.
I know.
They still got that on Donkey Kong Sue.
This is a bad pick, but I don't give a fuck. The Jets play the Bills. Oh, how do you pick on that? I got to take the Bills.
I'm going. I low-key want to go to Jets because they got Percy now.
Yeah.
I'm going Jets. And Fred Jackson hurt. I'm going Jets.
This could be a really good opportunity for Percy to be like, see, that's why you need me. You know what I mean? It's a good point.
I'm going Jets.
And the Jets are 1-6. Bills 4-3. I'm going to go Bills anyway. The Bears play the New England Patriots. Give me the... Oh, wait. They're at home. Oh, yeah. Give me the Patriots at home.
Yep, Patriots.
The Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going Bengals.
Is AJ back?
He probable.
Give me the Bengals. Because if AJ back, I can't bet against AJ. And I don't believe in Joe Flacco and the Ravens. The Texans play the Tennessee Titans. I'm gonna say the Texans finally get another win. Have you seen they games be good as shit? Like, they just keep losing in bullshit ways. Like, they can't lose to the Titans, right? The Titans starting a nigga I've never heard of this week. Like, just some niggas. I looked on TV, it's just a white dude.
He been winning though.
The Titans, they 2-5.
I thought he won last week.
Oh, I don't
think. The week before.
I don't think he started. I think he
didn't start, but he had won that.
I don't trust it. Give him a week to prepare. It can't be
that. Name White something?
Something.
Like White Bank or?
Whitehurst?
Whitehurst.
Yeah.
I like his name.
St. Louis Rams at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me the Rams.
Give me the Kansas City Chiefs. Them trick plays ain't going to work twice. They going to know where the punt going.
Give me the Rams.
Miami Dolphins at Jacksonville. Give me Jacksonville.
I'm going to Miami.
I'm just kidding. I'm going to pick Jacksonville. Hey, man, Jacksonville, like, I'm going to pick against Jacksonville every week because end of the year, I might be wrong three times. Mathematically, I know I'm doing the right thing. Shit.
This next game.
In the all-time worst shit bowl.
Worse than last week.
The Vikings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Like, who would have thought this game could compare to Cleveland and Jacksonville as far as the two worst teams?
I literally can't click it. I can't click one. I'm trying. My brain won't let me pick one of these shitty teams, man.
I almost picked Tampa Bay just for you, Shirley. But
because they at home.
Yo, I almost, but I'm going Minnesota.
I don't know how you. I'm, you know, eeny, meeny.
That's what I did. That's how I got Minnesota.
Catch up by his toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny. Mo, Minnesota Vikings. That's how I they going to get this W, dog. Let's go. Let's go, Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater. Seattle Seahawks at the Panthers.
I'm going to Seattle. And it's tough. But you know, last season, first game of the season, they played the Panthers and whooped the Panthers' ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a better team the Panthers had.
I gotta go Seahawks. Gotta do it.
If Seattle lose this game though, are they done?
Yeah. Well, no, if they lose this game, they'll be fine. Cause they, have you seen their schedule? Oh, nigga, it's about to get easy. Like, they lucky that, like they play Carolina, who I think they should beat. Mm-hmm. Then they play Oakland.
Okay. That's a victory.
The Giants.
That's a victory.
At Kansas City, which could be
should
a loss.
Should be a victory.
Could be a loss, but I'm going to say, let's say we're 50-50 on that. Then they play Arizona.
Should be a victory.
Keep in mind, Oakland and New York is at home. Arizona's at home. Then they play at the 49ers. They play the Eagles 49ers. So it gets tough near the end. And the very last game is St. Louis, which if they don't win that, they really are terrible. Philadelphia Eagles at the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the Eagles on the road.
Both 5-1.
Yeah. Should be a good-ass game, man.
I'm picking the Eagles because I got LeSean McCoy. They coming off this bye week. I need him to be fresh. Give me these yards.
Yeah, I go on the road this week to record with Shout Out Productions, so I can't watch all the games. But hopefully we'll be back in town close enough to watch the Eagles, man.
It's a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah. Either that, or I'm going to try to turn on the TV there or something. I don't know. The Oakland Raiders. give me the Browns.
I picked the Browns too, man. It's still.
They probably will lose. The Browns, if anyone can find a way to lose to the Raiders, it'll probably be the Browns. But I can't pick the Raiders. It's just not happening. Indianapolis Colts at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give me the Colts. Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints. Give me the Packers. Saints about to be like 2-5, dude.
They terrible. Really? And, y'all still ain't missing that that guy. We not gonna mention his name. First name Darren, last name Sproles.
Mm-hmm. Y'all still good though, right?
Y'all okay?
And the Redskins at the Cowboys. Give me the Redskins, man. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go. Just kidding. I'm going to say the final score for the Cowboys Redskins is 85 for the Cowboys to, let's give y'all 10.
I got us winning 28-21.
Okay. All right. Cool, man. Good luck with that.
Robert might be back, but I hope he sits out the game.
Yeah, I doubt he'll be back if he knows what's good for him.
He doesn't.
If he's finally learned his lesson.
He hasn't.
Yeah, he just gonna let y'all do what y'all do.
He's they got braids, right?
What have he been listening to you? You see, I mean, he would have rushed back by now. If I feel like earlier in his career, he would have been out there in a wheelchair, like, come on, coach, put me in.
Mm-hmm. Somebody can roll me backwards.
Did you see his face when McCoy came in?
He was all teeth.
Yeah, dog. I'm telling you. I think he learning. He like, yeah, how does it feel, bitch? Yeah, he had that look like, mm-hmm, you doing real good now. Well, he pat him on the back.
Yep.
Let me see if I can find it. Put that in the chat. He was smiling so good, man. He said, that's my boy. Go get him, McCoy.
Daddy, I thought you will.
Mm-hmm. Go get him, McCoy. You know how we do it. That face looked great. It's another picture, too, where he's just smiling.
Yeah, he even pointed like he was talking shit.
Yeah, it looked like he was pointing at the camera like, I told you, niggas. This shit ain't easy. Like, I can't find that one, man.
I'm shocked. You know, they tired of doing the memes on Robert.
Yeah.
He got to break his ankle or something to get his leg got to fall off next, man. I swear I feel like the next time he get out of the field, just from the knee down, his leg gonna be dangling. Like one of the Walking Dead characters.
Hey, have you ever seen Don't Be a Menace?
Yep.
His feet gonna be looking like that dude in the wheelchair.
Oh man, god damn, Robert. I wish you'd have picked up that phone.
Damn, what is this, Jim? What this got to do with RG3?
He got the ass face.
Yeah, he eating ass. What is this? I can't put that in the chat, y'all. I don't think they allow that on free pass. But yeah, he was cooking though, man. He was like, mm-hmm. So let's go to the stories, man. We got a ton of stories. Michael Jordan is mystified by the talk of a shorter season.
You're right. It's fucking up his money.
He's an owner now. Of course. MJ like, man, are y'all niggas serious?
They forget he an owner too, man.
I'm supposed to lose 16 games of revenue because y'all tired? They got to do with me and my money.
He talking about, and mainly he talking about TV money.
Yeah, he's talking about LeBron and Dirk, who both said they might want to shorten the season. By the way, I don't buy that they really want to shorten the season. Maybe they're doing it for leverage for the CBA. Because when you think about their careers, how many of these guys are going to be like, oh, well, I didn't get in the Hall of Fame because I didn't play, you know, my total numbers was lower. It's like, yeah, you played way less seasons and time, way less games.
I feel like they get in anyway.
Oh, not these two. I'm talking about other players.
Oh, yeah, other guys.
There's a lot of niggas on the borderline. It's like, I need these 16 games, man.
Like Bledsoe.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to make it with 66.
Chris
y'all
Paul.
Niggas, yeah, y'all niggas have 10, 12 years of 82 game seasons to bank on. So if it goes to 66, y'all still good.
Yep, Chris Paul, he needed.
Yeah,
he still got stuff to prove. What has he won? Has he been made it past the playoffs?
Right. He says, I love both of those guys, but as an owner who played the game, I loved playing. If I wasn't playing 82 games, I still would have been playing somewhere else because. That's the love for the game I had.
Did somebody write this for Jordan?
Nah. As a player, I never thought 82 games was an issue. But if that's what they want to do, we as owners and players can evaluate and talk about it, but we make less money as partners. And are they ready to give up money to play fewer games? That's the question, because you can't make the same amount of money playing fewer games. Yeah.
This is the Jordan to be in the meetings. This is not the I hate LeBron Jordan that normally be throwing out some slanderous, he's soft. Like only a weak ass player would say something like that.
I want to be cleaned up his life. You know, he did get married to that young chick.
That white woman got him trained.
Honey, that's enough alcohol tonight. Guys, no more cards. Oakley, you have to go home. I'm sorry, but you can't stay here tonight.
You got them twins coming.
We have to get up early for church tomorrow, and I'm sorry, but Michael, can you tell him to leave?
That's what it is. He had them twin girls, and she actually making him be a parent. Like, he ain't out on the road like he was with his other children with Juanita.
Jordan said basketball players generally don't incur the same long-term physical ailments as football players, so he can't understand the talk of a shorter season or shorter games.
Man, that's great. It's not old like, knees.
Huh?
That's great old knees about the pain of a football player.
Imagine if he played football, though. He'd be looking like that dude from Don't Be a Menace. It's not like football. We don't really have to worry about concussions and some of the physical damage that football players deal with after they retire. I can understand football players wanting to play fewer games from a physical standpoint, but basketball is not the same. I'm not diminishing the fact that we go through a grueling season, but I wouldn't want to shorten the game or play 15 to 20 fewer games. Who is this guy?
Right. This not... somebody wrote this for him. Yeah. She been coaching him. She been, boy, I need to get me a white woman. Mm-hmm. This, and it take us.
Wow.
Because if that white, did y'all change lives like that?
For real, man. This is crazy.
This is a whole different, this is not the Jordan Hall of Fame speech, Jordan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This fuck everybody.
Yeah, actually, maybe he just need to get his money right, and now he's fine.
Damn, that made sense.
So let's see. I don't understand what this is. Percy Harvin is a Jet, and now Marshawn Lynch is what? Sean Lynch? Oh, that's his Twitter name. He said, "Damn, they got my nigga." So Percy Harvin and Marshawn Lynch was cool, I guess.
You knew they had to be cool. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. He eats strangers. He eats Skittles out of the hands of strangers.
That was the weirdest fucking story, though, because Percy Harvin basically, like, apparently he's been fighting niggas since fighting niggas been fighting niggas. Like, I didn't even know this shit, but they say he fought Golden Tate before the Super Bowl.
Tate was leaving anyway then.
Yeah. Well, now I bet they wish they could have that back.
Yep.
They knew the dude was going to end up blowing up and having to leave. Yeah, Desmond said, report, Percy Harvin fought teammates checked out early versus the Cowboys. As usual in the NFL, sources are pushing out Percy Harvin's past misdeeds to explain the Seahawks' unexpected decision to trade the receiver to the Jets. The Seattle Times picked up a few instances, including a couple of fights with teammates, like the time he reportedly gave Golden Tate a black eye before the Super Bowl. Here's how the Times described Harvin's Seahawk on Seahawk violence. Our source confirmed a report that Harvin had gotten into an altercation with former Seahawks Golden Tate before the Super Bowl that resulted in Tate getting a black eye. Now I've seen pictures of the black eye allegedly. I didn't think it didn't look that bad to me. Here's a picture of it. I put it in the chat, but can y'all tell that this is a black, like if someone walked up to me looking like this, I wouldn't be like, damn, what happened to you, nigga?
Especially for him to actually be golden.
Yeah.
Like, he's light-skinned. You,
like, you think light-skinned dudes would bruise way harder than that? I mean, maybe on the nose?
You
could
tell look like he hit, but is that a regular mark from a football game?
Yeah, I couldn't tell. Yeah. So, also a source said Harvin had an altercation with Seattle receiver Doug Baldwin in the week leading up to the final exhibition game this August at Oakland that resulted in Baldwin getting a cut on his chin and each player being excused from practices that week. Harvin, who did not practice for 2 days before the game, did not make the trip to Oakland for what the team said was a personal matter. If it maybe sounds a little dubious that two teammates would duke it out during the Super Bowl week under the nose of the entire nation's sports journalism industry without a peep of this being reported, there's this photo of Tate from the game sporting what looked like to be a shiner. There was more recent problems, too. One final straw, a league source said, came Sunday in their loss. In that 30-23 loss to Dallas when Harvin apparently balked at going back into the game in the fourth quarter. Harvin played 26 of 48 official snaps, but did not play 11 of the final 17. He finished with 6 touches for minus 1 yard. He's just a time bomb, one NFL source said, describing him as too moody and noting that Minnesota had also grown tired of dealing with Harvin, which precipitated his trade to Seattle in March 2013. Here's the thing. I know some people think, why bash a player when you're getting rid of them anyway and whatnot? What I think happens is a lot of these writers have these stories about these dudes and they don't say anything because they're on the team.
In particular for him, just because we know
he'll fight you
or kill you. You know what I mean? but he known to be that type of dude. Like that's his reputation before he got to Seattle.
I think it happens with every athlete. Like even when it happened with Ron Artest.
Yep.
Like, I just think you have stories, you don't put them out because you want access to the team. Once the player is gone and he's worn out his welcome, people are going to ask these questions. So, which is funny because people act like you could just let them go and then not say anything. People are going to pry until they find a reason.
Yep.
You know, and with these sites like Deadspin, with TMZ and all this, a reason going to come out if it's something, you know?
But now here's the other part. Here's the conundrum I have with is that when you look at players like Steve Smith, who they love him in the league for doing the same shit, it's like, well, I can't like one and not the other. They do for doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't say that Percy Harvin, oh, he a bad dude, he got bad character flaws, but in the same breath, oh, Steve Smith, he a role model. Steve Smith Sr., you know, he's a father, he's a family man, all these other things. Like they the same person. You know what I mean? And it's the reason why I said, I was like, it's cool that he's not on the Panthers no more, because they was tired of him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we agree on this, for sure.
So, I have no issues with Percy Harvin whooping somebody ass before the Super Bowl. He felt like that's what needed to happen at that time. Then that's what needed to happen. They won, so apparently it must have it needed to be done.
That's how he motivate his teammates. What ass whooping?
Yep. Because if not, you got to go in the locker room and face that dude.
Oh, my God. Can I talk to you for a second? No! I'll catch the ball next time.
I got a meeting with Coach right now.
Yeah.
Coach will wait.
Yeah, Coach can wait.
I told him I was going to meet with you.
Yeah. He the one sent me. He sent me to talk to you, Golden Tate. Yeah, what's up with them? What you coming up short on a couple of them routes? But once you start taking yourself out of the game, though, that's like the opposite. Like, you can't be whooping people's ass and you quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's an ass, like... But you gonna start beating people for staying in the game? Like, what's the problem? But, you know, it sound like they basically shit on him on his way out because he was probably being a shitty person. Same thing happened with DeSean Jackson. I was okay with that too. Not because he's no longer an Eagle, but because, you know, it makes sense to me that there's gotta be a reason and this might be it. You know, so we'll see. I think the thing is, though, in that Eagles situation, it was two things. You had the people on the team that was talking about him, and they were saying shit like, yo, man, he's the counterman. The coach is. He was being addicted to teammates. Like, you know, we would lose, and he would be on some like, but I was balling, you know. And so they was like, you know, we won't miss him. And once, and like, they didn't need to even say details because it was very general shit like, we'll be fine without him. It's fine. And once you get people on the team that won't vouch for you, to me, that tells you everything.
Yep. But right now, Marshawn the only one vouching for him.
Right.
And I'm not saying, mm-hmm. I respect Marshawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if he the only one,
mm-hmm.
It still raises an eyebrow.
I'm just saying though, the dude who doesn't talk to the fucking media had an issue with Percy being let go. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can guarantee you what that was.
You ever seen a mask Marshawn wear pregame?
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, but look.
But that's the same dude that loved Percy.
Look, I'm going to tell you why. Listen, dog. It makes 100% sense that him and Marshawn would get along. Marshawn the only dude that Percy ain't trying to fight. He the only dude that Percy, like, on offense is like, yeah, not him. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a couple offensive linemen, maybe. But he definitely not trying to fuck with beast mode. Quiet niggas a kill. It's always the quiet ones that just fuck people. Like Percy, Harvin Marison. You be the ones that's real quiet and you be like, yo, did he caught a body? Well, I didn't know that. That's because he never talked about it.
Yo, and he did it by himself.
Yeah. Like, he don't have no accomplices or nothing. That's one part of it. And like I said, I don't mind them shitting on him leaving. He's gone. Fuck him. And he obviously left because they didn't like the way he did things. I think people get way too attached to this idea. Like, just let it go. Like, nah, man, you worked your way out of here and we want to say fuck you on the way out. Everybody has emotions. It happens. The same way he was dropping stories about, from his camp about how the Russell Wilson, it's too white. That's a new thing that he dropped. So he accused him, allegedly, some teammates and some players think that Russell Wilson is too close to the front office and doesn't always take the blame for his mistakes. And there's also an element of race that needs to be discussed, Freeman wrote. My feeling on this, and it's backed up by several interviews with Seahawks players, is that some of the players think Wilson isn't black enough. Here's the thing I want to say, though. Okay?
Is it the Mohawk?
Well, he did let that white man cut his hair in that commercial. for the tablet.
I mean, he got rid of the white woman. I mean, damn, that's, well, you're right. He should have kept the white woman. Yeah, then he'd have been, he'd have been black enough.
Here's the thing, man, that I definitely want to say about this. Is this now, are we officially at a point where they've created classism in the NFL between black people with the quarterbacks? Cause this is an unintended consequence of this quarterback shit. Like, everybody's so desirous to have black quarterbacks because they feel like they represent the team, and it's good for black people to have representation as the face of its franchise, right? But it feels like also because the majority of the players do not make what a quarterback makes, it was kind of okay for white players to do this. Like, if Tom Brady sided with management over Randy Moss, that's fine. Cause that's what he's expected to do. But if Donovan McNabb just said, I don't want to be involved in your dispute with the management, Terrell Owens, it's like, oh, he's a sellout. If I wonder if, like, that's because the quarterbacks get paid so much more that it's become like the new accusation of classism. Like, oh, you a sellout because you making your money. But that's the nature of the game. It wouldn't matter if the quarterback was green and you were purple. Like, the wide receiver that is, you know, a guy like Russell Wilson is always going to make a lot. And it's, right now, it's not even that much more, but he's going to have a much more esteemed position as the face of the team. And he is going to, by the nature of position, going to be closer to quote unquote management, coaches and shit than the other people.
Just because he's the quarterback.
Because the quarterback, right? Is that like maybe I'm tripping because I've never been in the NFL locker room. But to me, it doesn't seem like a way to measure blackness because of that. That's what all good quarterbacks would do.
But, you know, it's, they measure it with him differently, too, because he light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
So they add that to it. And then because he's not out here trying to sell cars. Like, he's trying to be a owner of the dealership. You know what I mean? Like, instead of being the car salesman. So it's just different. His approach to the game is different. His approach to life is different. And instead of them respecting him as the individual, I want to talk about his skin color.
Yeah.
And you're not black enough. Well, what would he have to do to be black enough, though? That's the alternative to it. Like, okay, he's not black enough. What would he have to do to be black enough in some of these people's eyes?
They're not even running out. And the thing is, like, they didn't even run the first black quarterback type shit with him. Like, to win it. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a while since a black quarterback won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Look at this dude. Like, they didn't even do that with him. So, here's the thing about this white shit, though. The not black enough shit. I hate when white people feel like they got to comment on this shit. Because honestly, they do know the difference. They know what people mean. Because they always make it seem like black people are the worst. But white people think that certain types of black are acceptable or not. That's not a black thing.
Yep.
But every black person you know, even the ones who talk shit like this, know that black is either check yes or no. It's no fucking in between. Cops pull you over in South Carolina, you a nigga. But white people are the ones who always judge us like, why you gotta call someone an Uncle Tom? Why you gotta call someone to sell out? Like, that's impossible to be that. You know? Anyway, what was you laughing about? I'm sorry, man.
Black Rob said he gotta eat fried chicken in the huddle to prove it. Get his black card.
That's when he gonna start changing his audibles.
We want fried dark meat.
Texas Pete. Texas Pete.
Two piece.
Yes.
Two piece dark.
Popeyes.
Dark biscuit. I want the dark biscuit.
Yeah, that's, you had to start switching. Hog moss. Hold on. Russell Wilson goes back. It's familiar audible again. Looks like he's switching the play up at the line. Collard greens.
Did he say candy yams? Candy yams.
Collard greens, candy yams, candy yams on five.
He got to start quoting rap lyrics and shit like that. Like, that's, he got to start using his Twitter page for rap lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Just get some DMX lyrics or Tupac. It'll be good.
Start dating him a loving hip hop person.
Mm-hmm. Get one of Ray J leftovers.
Yeah. mess with Tierra Marie.
I mean, that worked out for Kanye.
Well, not Tierra Marie. You're in pick up Hazel E.
Hey, man.
What's wrong with her face?
Russell was still on that bitch so fast.
But Russell, we go together now.
Stiff arm.
I mean, we not together, but we together.
Stiff arm.
So yeah, two sources, one inside the team and one outside the underachieving 3-3 Seahawks, tell me much of what was written in Mike Freeman's Bleacher Report column is true, Maine said via PFT. Freeman wrote of the turmoil involving since traded Purvis Harvin and the quarterback Russell Wilson that led to more widespread internal battle pitting those for Russell and those against. And Freeman surmised on his own an issue among some teammates regarding Wilson with the quote, he isn't black enough. A certain expected behavior based on color, apparently. One of the sources told me, quote, I don't know how he got all that stuff, but it's pretty much true. We do have a divide. We're working on it. Thursday, that notion was not presented to Wilson, but over and again, questions came about Harvin's departure. First, as PFT Mike Florio put out, Pro Football Talk, points out, Freeman didn't surmise this. It was his feeling backed up by several interviews with Seahawks players. Second, that notion was presented to Wilson. There's no division in our locker room, the third-year quarterback told the media. There's none at all. If anything, I think we continue to grow. I truly believe that. I think that guys that we have in the locker room, the guys that believe that we can still go 1-0 and still be a championship team, those are the guys that we have sitting in the room every day. Every morning we wake up, we're looking for one common goal, and that's to win football games. Wilson also addressed his relationship with Harvin. Percy and I never had differences. He's a guy, you know, we had a lot of similarities, probably, if anything. You know, guys that want to compete at the highest level, want to win every single time you step on the field, want the ball in our hands to make the big play and everything. So I'm not sure why the media tries to blow everything out of proportion. It's part of it, I guess. You have to deal with it, but you also ignore it, too. Like I always tell you guys, ignore the noise. You know, Percy's a Virginia guy, and I wish nothing but the best for him. Yeah, it's just funny because if they weren't 3-3, this wouldn't be a story.
They mad at him for saying that, them comments right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you supposed to call him a nigga and be like, yeah, we ain't gonna never be friends.
Yeah, it's funny because if they weren't 3-3, is this a story?
He not even traded, though.
Winning covers up everything, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's not even, yeah, none of this happens.
Yeah. But you're right, though. They wish they had Golden Tate back. It was one of the, I think it was a defensive player, too, they had to let go. Mm-hmm. That they probably wish they could have kept.
Yeah, according to this article someone put in the chat, Michael Robinson broke up the Percy Harvin Golden Tate fight before the Super Bowl.
Mm. Percy not even that big a dude either, man.
Yeah, but some niggas just love to fight and they're good at it. Might not be the biggest dude, but they
got them hands. He got them hands.
Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about it afterwards. He said, I talked to Percy and Golden and they ironed their situation out. But again, you've been in locker rooms. These type of things happen all the time. Families fight. That is what's so disturbing. Again, this type of information usually doesn't get out of that locker room. Why it comes out now, almost a year after the Super Bowl, is mind-boggling. It's not mind-boggling. They made a trade, and it looks crazy on the outside, so they got to tell everybody what happened.
Yep.
Someone else put, for my boy, Black Sports Online, that tall. He is reporting, did Harvin punch Golden Tate for sleeping with Russell Wilson's ex?
Mm. Now, see, that's what you don't get. Mm-hmm. On some of these other sites.
That hard hitting sports analysis. I think
that's why Russell went on here and you know what though, man? Russell is about getting cut that bitch off. Percy Harvin, he cut him off. Like he don't mind getting rid of the people that's supposed to be close to him.
Right. There's nothing to a player like him. Slowly the dust is starting to settle around Percy Harvin's mysterious trade from the Seahawks to the Jets. As reported earlier, anger problems by Harvin and issues with teammates seem to play the biggest factor. The only real support amid Harvin's departure came from the off-secluded star running back, Marshawn Lynch. Rumors have swirled nonstop about an alleged affair between former Seahawks receiver Golden Tate and Russell Wilson's ex-wife Aston. The rumors of an affair between the two are all but new, but with Tate even taking their Twitter last spring to debunk them last spring. He really wrote that sentence. Golden Tate says on Twitter at Showtime Tate, "By the way, the ignorant minority of people, bloggers, and whoever else spreading the ridiculous rumors should cut it out. It's absurd stories that are being made up from whatever source. In fact, Elise and Ashton are still incredible friends, as well as Russ and I. I strongly advise the ignorant folks blowing the situation up and spreading these rumors to shut the hell up. Go watch the NBA playoffs. Finally, I don't understand why it's anyone's business what happens in one's personal life. It's irrelevant to the performance on the field. But now the rumors have taken a new life and relevancy after photos of Golden Tate sporting a black outfit for the Super Bowl surface, and the main culprit for it is none other than Percy Harvin. But why would he punch him for sleeping with someone else's wife? Are they both sleeping
with him? Maybe he thought that, or he thought him and Russell was that cool.
While it may be some time before the smoking gun in the story is revealed, things are being connected pretty well. Both with Tate and then Wilson. Wilson's were good friends. The Tates and the Wilsons were good friends and very close. The shot of Tate received is very visible and fits in the time around the divorce. And if Marshawn Lynch is the only guy coming to Harvin's side, you can assume Harvin, too, is a real guy who wouldn't stand for that. Of course, right now, things are in rumor phase. We work to be detective to discover why Harvin was abruptly let go.
So, I mean, well, this kind of fits into our theory that Marshawn Lynch is gone, too. And they haven't minimized his touches, but at the same time, they kind of have. Like, they're going to phase him out the system. If he's standing by Percy like that, and, you know, at the end of this year, he's still talking about that money.
Mm-hmm.
He might be gone. But they'll have money to pay him now with Percy gone.
But Golden Tate says Percy Harvin didn't punch him in the face.
I wouldn't admit that either.
If you look at the picture, looking at the picture, I mean, I could definitely see a difference. But like I said, I can't tell if that's a football thing or or what.
I mean, it's so old now. Like, if he didn't admit it when it first happened, he just got to ride out with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just crazy. All this shit is swirling around this organization, which generally is a pretty dope organization.
Yep. Pete Carroll, man, can we just all smoke some weed together and then go play some football?
Jay Full put in the chat, "That's a nice jacket, Justin. Uses my 'this is a robbery disguised as a compliment' voice."
I appreciate that, my brother.
Jameis Winston is expected to enter the NFL draft, according to a report.
He gone, man.
He gone. Looks like I was wrong, guys. Well, I won't be wrong until we see where he gets drafted, I guess. if he still goes as high as he thinks he's going, then I guess I was wrong.
Jacksonville, they'll take him. Tampa Bay. No disrespect, sure.
Well, they think they just took Blake Bortles.
What they mean?
Jacksonville think they got a quarterback in the future.
Cleveland drafted three quarterbacks in a row, man. That don't mean shit.
But that's why they Cleveland.
Right, and what, Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay
can do it. Like,
Jacksonville, come on, man. Tampa Bay could use them.
Miami will take them.
But if I was taking them, man, I'd take them somewhere away from women. Like Minnesota, you know what I mean?
Nope. Can't take them to Minnesota. They progressive out there.
I mean, you know, I'm just trying to keep them.
It's nothing else to do but rape the women out there. Not saying he a rapist.
Because Jacksonville is such a hub of modern American civilization.
I'm just saying, it's so close. It's so close to the parties.
But Jacksonville is so close to where he did his raping. Like, he's still on home rape territory. Like, it's a home game for him when he goes out to rape.
You got to put him in Oakland where the women can defend themselves.
You got to put him in Pittsburgh, Oakland.
Yeah, they used to this.
Yeah, like, that's the brilliance of the Big Ben thing, is you never hear about rapes during the regular season, because we've all seen female Steelers fans and that live in Pittsburgh. Come on.
You put them in Philly, they can defend themselves there. You know, the Patriots will take him, do things the Patriot way. And I know Belichick been trying to ride with Brady, but he has to see that if he keep riding with Brady, then he gonna lose his job eventually.
It should come as no surprise that Florida State's redshirt sophomore quarterback Jameis is expected to enter the 2015 draft. Jason Lockenfort of CBS reports it has become a certainty that the reigning Heisman Trophy winner will go pro after the season. Winston is currently being investigated for an alleged sexual assault in 2012, for which he was never charged, and whether or not he sold autographs. The report also says that Winston won't drop out of FSU. According to Lockhart 4, Winston has an adversarial relationship with members of the university, not including Seminoles head coach Jimbo Fisher. Last week, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports reported that Winston is falling on draft boards because of those off-the-field issues. Some general managers told Glazer that they're deciding whether or not they even want him on their team. In other words, not on their draft boards at all. If Winston doesn't get in trouble before the draft, he should be a high first-round pick. He showed why in the 31-27 comeback against Notre Dame. During the offseason, Tomahawk Nation examined the reason that Winston might consider making the leap to the NFL after this season, including avoiding more scrutiny that would surely come from one more year of school. So, Jameis to the NFL, bro?
Yep.
You down with it?
Yeah, I've been saying it. Plus, okay. he gotta get somewhere where, man, he can be a kid. Like, most of them
the NFL, not where you can be a kid.
Look at Geno, man. Like,
he's not a kid. He grew up so fast. Like, he looks so stressed. Like, you don't have the luxury of being just like here's the problem with the thing. Sure, leaving Florida behind might help a little bit, but you do realize it might stop the rape investigation shit from the university because he won't be there anymore. Or maybe it'll slow it down, whatever, if it's not over by then. But the NFL ain't no better for fucking around. Like, they now have a no fucking around policy because niggas was out there hitting their women and their children.
I'm just referring to, like, now he don't have to worry about dorm curfews. Just a smaller little thing.
But he might need dorm curfews.
He need that treatment that the Cowboys gave their star receiver.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant.
That he gave himself.
Right, he need a year of that.
Yeah.
And then be like, damn. Okay, so now he really did mature.
Yeah.
You know, and it even after that, the year of them harassing Dez Bryant, you know, he had like one or two temper tantrums on the sideline, but this season you hadn't seen it at all. And maybe it's because they winning, or it could just be because he actually is maturing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he already proved it. He got his ring. Brandon Marshall and Kyle Long were reportedly at the center of a charged locker room scene after the Bears lost another game in Chicago. Unrest appears to be spreading through the Chicago Bears locker room after the team lost to Miami on Saturday. The Bears are now 0-3 at home this season, and it isn't sitting well with players, according to various witnesses. According to reports, wide receiver Brandon Marshall and offensive lineman Kyle Long were reportedly at the center of the scene. Marshall reportedly ranted about the team's 3-4 record, while Long ripped into Bears fans at Soldier Field. Long complained about fans booing but not making noise whenever the Dolphins were on third down. Dan Bernstein, I guess a reporter, says Kyle Long blames fans for not making enough noise on third down defensive plays and says they can't boo. This is quite a day for the Bears. Jordan Burnfield says, just got back from the Bears locker room. Brandon Marshall said being 3-4 unacceptable a dozen times. Kyle Long ripped the fans. Loud yelling heard from outside the Bears locker room. When you play with heart, it's supposed to hurt. Then you just kick the ball. Damn. So they definitely cussed a kick out for no reason. And when you play with heart, it's supposed to hurt. That's when somebody's going crazy and you try to calm them down. Like, dude, calm down. It's just one game. You're like, well, you play with heart, it's supposed to hurt. All right, man, shit. So we ain't going to the club after this?
No, fuck the club.
Ugly scene in the Bears locker room right after the game. Lots of yelling players pulled out of the room. Coach Trestman said it's a very sick locker room in terms of how the Bears played the game.
Imagine the Oakland locker room after the game.
Mm-hmm.
They had no weapons and shit.
Marshall.
Same mistakes. You know, we got to protect the football. We got to protect the football. We got to execute the game plan. We got to adjust when things don't go as we saw on the film. So, you know, we got, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte. We got a stud offensive line. I mean, we got a great, great group of guys. And this is unacceptable. What did we put up, 14 points? Was it 14 points? That's unacceptable.
what's the key to taking the passion and frustration and using it in a positive way?
Hey, listen, we've been playing football all our lives, you know. So that's the amazing thing about football is that it is a volatile sport. And you have the ability, when you get frustrated, to go out there and take it out on the field. You know? So that's all you can do, whether it's in practice, whether it's in the game. You have to be able to play with a gauge on your shoulder. It has to mean something to you. You know, the Chicago Bears should not be 3-4 right now. Absolutely unacceptable. And it starts on the offensive side of the ball.
Is the confidence still there? Is it worth
it? I don't know. My confidence is there. You know, Alshon Jeffrey's confidence is there. Martellus Bennett's confidence is there. You know? Yeah.
I see what he's doing. He's doing that thing where he's blaming the game on Cutler because he ain't say his name.
He mentioned it, everybody but him.
Everybody. Yep. The offensive line, the quarterbacks that back up the quarterback, the wide receivers.
Running back. He
the
good.
Running back. The backup running back. The fans. The coach. The position coaches. The water boy. The janitor, the team assistants, all the people that, you know, make the Gatorade in the mornings, the athletic trainer, that dude that lays out your suit when you come in, lays out your outfit.
The cheerleaders ready?
He got confidence. The cheerleaders, they got confidence.
You saw the mascot out there?
The bus driver, private plane, airline jet, flight pilots, they got it.
The ticket taper, they was ready?
Mm-hmm, they was ready. The anchors for the local news and the sports show on the radio, they was good.
Mm-hmm. The lineman was ready.
Yep.
Phil was out there looking good.
Phil was good. So are you trying to say this is Jay Cutler's fault?
I'm just saying.
My children had a good attitude this morning.
I'm just saying the concession stand food, everything was good.
Everything but that nigga. Everything but him.
But I don't know why people are mad because we say the same thing.
Cutler's terrible. Been saying this shit for so long. Only people in denial, these motherfuckers still talking about, well, he has a lot of potential. At what point do we just go, no, this is what you is, man. It can't be potential still. Like, it's 10 years of you being the same ass nigga making the same mistakes. It's not potential anymore. If you found a way to fuck around and win a championship, I would still be like, oh, that's a dude that got lucky. You know what I mean? Like
Flacco.
Right. Like and Eli too, twice. I can't give Eli credit. He's thrown the most interceptions in the NFL since he's been in the NFL.
That's why Peyton won all the other accolades he could get. Cause yeah. Eli still be at Thanksgiving, which is coming up in a month with his shiny ass rings on. Mm-hmm. Talking about I'll cut the turkey this year.
David Cobb from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Witnessed an Ole Miss fan wandering to the Tennessee quarterback Justin Worley's presser after the Vols 34-3 loss. The Rebel fan even asked something that bore the shape of a question. Drunk Ole Miss fan made it into the UT press conference and tried to ask Justin Worley a question. Funny, awkward. For the record, I didn't give the guy a breathalyzer, but based on the slurred speech and strange mannerisms, he did appear to be drunk.
I think for the most part, they do a good job coming in.
You knew almost overall. You knew almost this defense was going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
What's that?
He was drunk. Hey, but he sounded like he could just be nervous, to be honest. But listen to him slur this speech. And how did he get in the press conference?
For the most part, they do a good job coming in.
You knew almost overall. You knew almost this defense was going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
What's that?
How
did he get in there right with no credentials or anything? Not even a familiar face.
Yeah. You going to win some. You good, Winston. Defense good. Going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
Hey, man, he probably was like, what a bathroom at around this piece.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go. Where is it at? And then when he walked in there, he was like, he just asked a random question. Probably holding his dick the whole time he was talking.
You can tell your fan, though, because he was like, you going to win some good. You going to win some. You going to win some. Defense going to be good. I got here one time. Oh, my God. You going to win some. I love his accent too, because he's from down south, so he got that good ass like accent. You gonna win some. You gonna be good.
I think for the most part, they do a good job coming in.
You knew Ole Miss overall. You knew Ole Miss's defense was going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
What's that?
He was looking for the microphone and shit to talk into.
He looked at him too like, who the fuck are you, man? What do you want? What's that? Drunk Tennessee fan. And they got their ass whooped too. He was, defense gonna be good. I think he was trying to say, you didn't know Ole Miss defense gonna be that good. Was anything that surprised you or something like that? Oh my God. Oh man. Next article. God damn. You gonna win, son. It's gonna be good. I want him to interview everybody now.
Yeah, so, I noticed you was out there throwing a lot of interceptions. Can you win playing like that? Is that the winning recipe?
Hey, did you notice too? He tried to cut the other question, the answer to the question off to another question. Like he was trying to, like, dude was like, yeah, well, you know, we definitely gotta, you gonna win some, even gonna be good. You, anything surprise you? Say what? Slava Voinov's girlfriend reportedly hospitalized at the alleged domestic assault. TMZ was reporting the details of the alleged crime that led to the arrest and suspension of Los Angeles Kings defenseman Slava Voinov. The report claims that the victim, who says she is in a relationship with Voinov, was injured badly enough to require hospitalization.
Good thing he don't play football.
Yeah, because people would care. Now, luckily, he's a white man.
Yep.
So,
whose name you can't really pronounce.
Mm-hmm. And you guys don't watch this sport, so the outrage meter was very low. No one was acquiring any GMs or owners to come give a speech.
Y'all gonna stop watching hockey now?
I know this much. I'm done watching hockey.
You done?
I hate the way they handled this.
Damn, they lost another fan.
Police in Redondo Beach, California have since given details about the case, essentially confirming everything reported by TMZ. Voinov was arrested at the hospital after staff alerted police that their presence was needed. He was released from police custody for $50,000 on $50,000 bail later Monday morning. Police would not confirm that the victim is Voinov's girlfriend, as was reported by TMZ, but did say that in order to charge Voinov under Section 273.5 of the state's penal code, as they did, a certain relationship is required. The NHL's indefinite suspension bans Voinov from any team activities, including games and practices, but he is getting paid while the investigation and legal process moves forward. The Los Angeles Kings organization released the following statement regarding Voinov's arrest. These developments are of great concern to our organization. We support the NHL's decision to suspend Slava Voinov indefinitely during his process, and we will continue to take appropriate action as the legal proceedings and the investigation by the NHL take their course.
Hey man, Ray Rice fucking it up for a lot of people.
Yep.
On accident.
This the new wave. Send you home with your money.
Like, he can't even go hang out with his homeboys, other athletes now, because he fucking it up for them, and they mad. I know they mad.
Yeah.
They ain't with that keep your head up, bro. Like, they with the, man, get the fuck out my face.
Mm-hmm. It's good, man. But, yeah, Slava Voinov, man, you out there beating these women up and shit. And that's a sport where they actually do encourage them to be violent and hit each other and fight. So who knows what he did to her? And these are a bunch of big ass white dudes.
And that's the thing about it too. You can actually fight in a sport. Save it for them.
Yep. Cowboys released Michael Sam from the practice squad.
So disappointed.
Cause he's gay. So there you go. Look, man, I have no problem with this. Because my whole point has been the same, and I've stayed on message the entire fucking time, and I'll continue to say it. All I wanted was for the dude to get a shot and for it not to be, because too much of the excuse was he doesn't even deserve a chance because he's gay, and that's too much of a scandal. Meanwhile, niggas is beating their women and their kids and raping people and shit, but somehow that's not a distraction enough to stop it.
It's kind of ironic he got let go right after the civil suit was taken care of in Dallas. And he got put on the team right when the civil suit started. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
That's kind of ironic. Like, he wanted that distraction to be like, oh, but look at the good I do. I love the gay community.
Oscar Pistorius ended up getting 5 years in prison.
Is that all?
I know. Well, the defense didn't have a leg to stand on.
And they were just running in circles?
Yeah. I thought they were going to step up the to the penalty, but they really didn't. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison Tuesday for killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, completing a transformation from an acclaimed sprinter to 2012 Olympics to a convicted criminal. He was led away in a police van with barred windows.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Wish he got more time. Does he get to keep his legs while he in prison? Seemed like those are
weapons. Feel like an unfair advantage. They would be shanking him with his own legs. Wearing a dark suit, the double amputee athlete was subdued when Judge Thokozal Masipa announced the punishment in the Pretoria courtroom, ending a televised trial that was closely followed at home and abroad by those who once admired him. The man known as the Blade Runner, because of his carbon fiber running blades, will have to serve 10 months or 1/6 of his sentence in prison before he is eligible to be moved to house arrest. So he only has to, wow.
Yep.
He only has to actually be in jail 10 months and then he just go home and play Xbox with us.
Mm-hmm. He online right now calling you a fucking nigga.
Yep. Wow. South Africans seem torn between acceptance of the ruling, touted by some as an example of judicial accountability in a nation that shared white racist rule 20 years ago, and nagging concern that Pistorius received leniency because he was rich and famous. Yeah, I mean, all right, 5 years. Don't know what else to say, really. It's just a crazy story. You kill somebody, you only get 5 years for it. Speaking of doing stuff to people, Blake Griffin is accused of slapping a man in the club.
No, I can't believe it. The way cats be punking him in the league.
Sometimes enough is enough, man.
I was like, you just pick on people that's not your size, though. Okay, that makes sense.
But you got to work your way up. Because, see, he said he done taking that shit on the court in the NBA. So, off the court, you got to start small. Slap a nigga that look like Lil Fizz. You know what I mean? Then next week, slap somebody in practice. You know, just slap Matt Barnes for no reason.
He's slapping Matt Barnes, even though Matt Barnes kind of soft.
Yeah. I mean, just somebody. You pick the person then. I don't care. J.J. Redick. Slap J.J. Redick in practice one day next week. And eventually you work your way up to when you get undercut in the NBA, you hop up and hit somebody. That's all it takes.
He's still not going to do it. I said it, you soft.
He slapped the dude, which is always hilarious.
But you still can ball though, Blake.
He's and then he squeezed his neck. he did it because a dude tried to take a cell phone photo of the crowd, and Griffin was bothered by the flash and grabbed my phone with one hand, according to the man. When security arrived at the scene, the former OU star told them to get the man out of the club. According to a statement, the alleged victim gave the nightclub security. Griffin then slapped me in the right side of the face. He was probably man, drunk.
He about to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he should press criminal and file civil suit at the same damn time.
He about to be, he went from Blake Griffin to Black Griffin, didn't he?
He about to be a little less Richard Griffin.
Did you see the Monet Davis advertisement?
Mm-mm.
Well, you know who Monet Davis is, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little 13-year-old girl in the Little League history, black girl that first won the pitcher shutout.
Yep, want to play WNBA.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had an advertisement, and everybody was like, oh, no. This means that the NCAA might not let her play because she got paid. But the NCAA actually said, no, they're not going to do anything. It's cool. She can still come play in the NCAA. One of the things that's funny, though, is technically the NCAA doesn't penalize you until the next year. So, like, at 13, she wouldn't have been eligible for them to police her anywhere. It's 14 that she can't receive money for playing sports. You know what I mean? Like, it's your ninth grade class, not your eighth grade.
And that's so crazy anyway. Like, what they going to do? Not let me into college?
Right. Because I made money as a kid.
It just means she won't get a scholarship.
Yeah.
But, and then hopefully she just go to a school that's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $6,000-$7,000 a year. And
plus it's good PR for the NCAA to try to look good.
Yep.
Like, oh, in January, the NCAA Division I membership provided more flexibility on eligibility standards. The NCAA staff's decision was made within the process and based on a combination of considerations, James said in a statement. This waiver narrowly extends the rules, which allow Davis to accept payment and still be eligible for any other sport, to include baseball. The NCAA staff also considered the historical limited opportunities for women to participate in professional baseball. In addition, Davis is much younger than the vast majority of the prospect rules apply. While this situation is unusual, the flexible approach utilized in this decision is not.
Is UConn a public school?
I think so.
She can go. She can do it. She can go to a public school. Normally, I mean, not. Yeah, normally the state schools are cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, but that's if she goes to UConn. I mean, she's young. You know, yeah. Like, her first choice is UConn today, but who's to say in 3 years she won't be like, actually, I like Notre Dame more. But I just like that she won't lose her eligibility for it.
Yep, I'm glad. Get that money, young girl.
Meanwhile, let's talk more about some feminism. A PGA of America president, the president of the PGA of America, I'm sorry, referred to Ian Poulter as a little girl for his comments.
He would.
Of the way that Nick Faldo and Tom Watson captained their Ryder Cup teams. Faldo was captain of the last European team that lost in 2008. Watson was captain of the American team that lost at Glen Eagles last month. Poulter was critical of both in his book, No Limits, which was released this week. PGA President Ted Bishop directed a tweet at Poulter that said, Faldo's record stands by itself. 6 majors and all-time RC points. Yours versus his, little girl. These white people so rich. That's an insult. Little girl. Look at you, little girl. Don't you like you, girl? What a stupid ass insult. You a rich ass person. That's what you got on Twitter even? You found his Twitter so you can at him, little girl. You supposed to be mad?
Well, you know he wanted to take it to the money, but yeah. He got to say that one.
In a separate posting on his Facebook page, Bishop said for someone like Poulter to criticize 2 players of their stature made him sound like a little schoolgirl squilling during recess. You little cootie girl.
You wear a skirt, don't you?
You
love your mother, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a terrible insult.
Yeah. What does that even mean, though?
White people, write us and let us know. How do you feel about when someone calls you a little girl?
He lamented that athletes who had lesser records or accomplishments in a sport never criticized the icons. He mentioned Watson's 8 majors and 10-3-1 record in the Ryder Cup and Faldo's 6 majors and record with the Ryder Cup points in history getting bashed by Poulter. Really sounds like a little schoolgirl schooling during recess. Come on, man. They're so rich. These niggas really thought Tiger Woods was going to need to get out. Because he was fucking too many women. They was jealous. That's all that was. Ain't nobody busting it open for little girl. Little girl. Call him a bitch, man. You gonna get fined anyway? Go all the way.
No, man. That's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
They got all these unwritten rules in golf.
Yeah. What the fuck? Little girl.
That's why people don't really like your sport.
Yeah.
If they do, they don't admit it. Like, you play golf, don't you? No, I don't. You got golf clubs? Why you got them golf balls?
Right. Can you imagine we was playing basketball and, oh, little girl, Carl. Little girl. Gosh. Why you call that foul, you little girl?
I mean, he can't put the pussy on the chain whack, so yeah, he might be a little girl.
I might do this tomorrow. You gonna call that, you little girl, see which one get mad. And then when they get mad, I'll be like, you play golf, don't you? Yeah, you think that's an insult, little girl? I mean, it's not like he the president of the WPGA.
What's the dude, the white dude, to be huffing and puffing in people's chest?
What do you mean?
But he be wrong all the time.
He famous?
Or? No, I'm talking about at the Siski.
Pat?
No, it's Siski.
Greg?
Look, yes.
Yeah, Greg. Yes.
I bet you he will get heated over you calling him that.
Dude, like, Greg,
he will get
when Greg
angry.
Cussed, when y'all fouled him and y'all wasn't even arguing? Foul, motherfucker! You barely got touched, you bitch. Nobody's even arguing with you. Shut up.
We made fun of him.
Little girl. Hey, what was funny is that I got fouled like the next play, and then I was like, you son of a bitch! Or something, just something stupid, like,
yeah.
Cuss real loud, like, You fucking motherfuckers.
We were joking him for being too extreme. Yeah, that's why they don't like us.
He calmed down too. It was funny because then like he realized like this is stupid.
Yeah. That's why they don't like us.
You really mad? I said nobody was arguing with you, Greg.
We spent too much time laughing at them. They'd be like, why are they always laughing at us?
You god damn it. I can't remember what he said. I just remember it was a cuss word, and then after that, I cussed like extra hard.
He was like, fuck, I called foul.
Yeah.
But yeah, yelled it. It was like, why you yelling? Just save my ball.
Yeah, nobody argue with you. You got fouled. Your ball?
Yeah, why you yelling?
And then when I got fouled, I just turned around. I was like, motherfucker, shit, or something like that. Everybody started laughing. That shit was so stupid. God, these old men. Little girls.
He going to be mad. Because yeah, especially, you know, ever since he got in that other white dude face, he ain't been back out to the gym.
Nope. Ever since I pissed off Dave, he ain't been back.
Dave was the one talking shit, though.
Dave was talking shit to me, man, the whole game. I ain't say nothing. And then at the very end, I think it was like 15 or something, so we needed 5 points to win. I hit the last 5 on him. I crossed him up on one of them, and when I crossed him, I said, oh, gotcha. And that shit went in. Everybody was like, oh. And then he was like, yeah, I ain't gonna let you get another one on me right now. You got me on that last. And then I hit a 3 to win the game. And then he was like, he just left.
He ain't even say bye. He ain't talk no shit. He ain't even switch shirts. Like, he normally switches clothes out.
Yep. It was early too. Like, we had a lot more time to play games.
It was like 8:15.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go. I said, Dave, man, you really not gonna leave? You just not gonna talk to us? I gotta go right now. I'm like, all right, man.
It makes sense.
Shouldn't have talked that shit.
He on suicide watch.
Mm-hmm. But that's still my nigga though. But, I fuck with Dave, man.
Fuck Black History Month.
Ever since fucking Black History Month, dude, I'll never be mad at that dude, man, ever.
Some of them might not know the story.
Nah, we told, but what? There was something else.
Because it was a while ago. They might not know the story.
Yeah, I don't want to redo the story right now, but it was something else he said. Oh, you know, Carl was fucking up the list one day. Carl was supposed to be up, but he read the list wrong, right? Why this nigga Dave told him he had dyslexia? He said, now you know Carl got that dyslexia. I said, Dave, what? Dyslexia? I ran to the sideline real quick and typed it in my phone. Like, I gotta remember this. Dyslexis.
Dave is so funny.
Yeah, man. I don't think he was there that day, man. He was like, you know, Carl got that dyslexis.
He's so angry all at the same time.
Dyslexis.
Right there.
Right there.
Dyslexis.
Man, he was, remember when he was at, remember when, he had Adrian Peterson back? Well, yep. I was like, nah, man, you can't be doing all that, Dave. Like, now, right now, boy, I don't know when you came up. Now, I'll tell you now, when I came up, the whole neighborhood could whoop you right now. I'm like, come on, Dave, man, did you see the pictures? Like, I ain't seen no pictures. I'm like, well, damn, nigga, look at it. It's on the internet. Just look up one picture, man. Can't be hitting the kid on the ball with no switch. Oh, he didn't want the balls to just switch? Okay. Yeah, that's different. That's abuse.
Dave is so hilarious, man.
Oh, he's my favorite, man. I mean, low-key.
He an asshole, though.
I be low-key hurt when he don't be there, man.
He is an asshole.
He is, man.
It took us a long time to win him over.
It really did, but, man.
He used to hate us.
Yep. He still be fucking people up on the low. That dude Mac ain't been out there since Dave Hill. Remember when Dave Hill Mac up? Mac was like, God damn it, Dave. And you know, Mac don't really talk no trash, man.
Yep, Mac let everything slide.
God damn it, Dave. I said, damn. Mac was so hurt. And Dave ain't have no emotion on his face. He was looking like, don't get knocked out, boy. You lucky I'm just keeping it to these files. Oh, man.
Yo,
call your foul. That's what he be saying. Call your foul. He be fucking you up. Call your foul. I called my foul too one time because he like ran me over while I was dribbling. So I tried to like go around my back and go the other way. And he just grabbed me and pushed me out the way and grabbed the ball. I said, foul. Come on, right now. Come on. I said, Dave, man, what you want me to do?
He's strong for no reason too, man.
Big old slave picking cotton hands and shit.
He had to be a football player.
Yeah, he's
like
strong.
Like, he
as
had
shit.
To.
He's strong as shit on the level.
Like, without trying.
Yeah.
He awkward strong.
He don't even lift weights.
Just I bet he could bench 500 though.
He probably could, man. He probably don't even lift weights. He probably measure his shit in like other shit. Like, I'll pick up 2 cows or something.
Yo, like, look at this car. I lift up the whole back half with my pinky.
Help me move this car. Like, what? How? You want me to get in and drive? Nah, you just push it like me.
Yeah, just put the parking brake on so it don't roll away from you.
Nah, I'm okay, Dave. I'm okay. Come on, right now.
You get one side, I'm going to get the other side. We're gonna move it to this other parking spot over here.
Dave, I can't feel my back, man. Come on, man, please. All right, then. Steve, speaking of not feeling your back, man, Steve Nash done for the season and his career pretty much.
I'm shocked he suited up this year.
Hey, man, I saw so many people like, you know, it's just sad to see poor Steve Nash end his career like this. He happy.
Yeah, he stopped caring 2 years ago.
No one more happy about Steve Nash back than Steve Nash.
He heard it moving. Yeah, some luggage.
Some legs.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why I was shocked he even suited up. I thought it was just like, look, I'm getting this check, but I ain't playing.
Yeah, he said he heard it while carrying travel bags. I bet it's not even hurt. It's probably just, he probably just like, you know what, man, I don't even feel like coming back. You know what? I can't, I'm stuck at Cabo, man. can I speak to Coach Byron Scott? Yeah, hold on, I'll put you through.
It say you transferred to Cleveland though. I mean, not Cleveland, but Canada.
Yeah. Can you just put me on the? Can I talk to Byron Scott real quick? Yeah. What's going on? What's going on? Who's this? It's me, Steve. Man, I'm not gonna be able to come into work this year.
Tomorrow?
No, this year. My back is hurt.
You mean 2014? You're not coming in for the
For the whole season. I hurt my back, and looks like I'm gonna need a season to just recover.
Cheryl, stop putting prank calls through to my phone.
No, it's really me. It's really me.
You got somebody pretending to be Steve.
No, it's me. It's me, you hoser. Listen up, eh? I'm not gonna be able to come in this year. Okay.
You got the Ebola.
No, I mean, I'm a little sick too.
You got bird flu?
A little sick too, but it's my back. My back just been acting up. Doctor said I need a backyotomy.
Your back?
Yeah, I heard it, doing some
pretty strenuous. Just go get you a massage with a happy ending and,
yeah, I tried that. They said it's not gonna work. So I'm just not gonna be able to make it. I'm sorry.
To be quite honest with you, Steve, I mean, you wasn't gonna get much playing time, but at the same time, you getting paid though, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean,
the,
man.
The check's clearing, right?
Yeah. Hold on 1 second, Byron. Hey, man, can you freshen this up? Yeah, can I get another one of these? Yeah, let me get another one. What is these? My times?
Oh, hello?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
You're
at home and you're in the bathtub.
Well, what's funny is that I was already on vacation.
Is that the ocean? Are you?
Yeah. Well, see, that's the funny story. Oh, you're going to love this. I was already on the beach, and I was about to come to L.A., and I went to go get my luggage out the hotel room, and I did something to my back, man. They just told me lay down in this hammock, sip on some of these drinks they serving in these empty pineapples, and empty coconuts, and just chill, so... I'm taking the doctor's advice, man. I'm gonna see you in 2015.
Let,
all right.
Let me get Mitch on the phone.
Mitch, no need to talk to Mitch, man.
Because Mitch the one handle the paychecks around here.
All right, man.
You know I don't have any power, yeah. And let me get Kobe too, because you know he probably in Mitch's office.
Go ahead, put him on, man. I'm fine. Is Mitch? Mitch, you there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Mitch, man.
Is this Steven?
Yeah. This is Steve. Mitch,
how you doing there, buddy?
Continue to send the checks to 805 Maple Drive, Ontario,
moving?
Canada. Yeah, just send all
gotta,
my...
You got to watch your new house?
Yeah, I got me a new house with the money from last year.
Why didn't you just handle this with HR while you was in the building? Like, you got practice in the morning. Why don't you just wait till tomorrow?
Well, see, that's the funny thing, man. I'm not going to be coming... back to the team this year.
God damn it. What game are you playing now, Steven?
That doctor said that I need to chill out and just don't even
come. What doctor? Not my doctor here. Not Dr. Drew.
Now I got to hold on. Y'all be quiet, man. My kids is acting. Hey, sit down. Sit your ass down, man. Come on now. Don't make me get up out this chair. Now you know I will. We, no, we play some volleyball later. Play some volleyball in a second, boy. Yeah. What I meant was, yeah, my back too hurt to play in, to play basketball.
Look, Steven. We went through this last year. You know, we had you medically cleared. The doctor says you're fine. You got practice in the morning. I expect for you to be there.
Yeah, I picked up you know how I have those Samsonite cases, man? They pretty sturdy. Picked up one of those without turning the wheels on. It's my fault. I mean, I admit it, but I can't play. I'm gonna need all my money too.
God damn it. How am I gonna explain this to Kobe?
Really the question is how you gonna explain it to Jeannie, but hey, ain't none of my business. I'm just sipping this tea. You know what I'm saying? Kermit Jeff. So, but good luck with that, man. You know,
Steven, you really put me in a tight spot here now, Steve.
Yeah,
this is some bullshit. I want you to know.
Well, hey,
but you know, I wish you and the family well. You guys have fun.
Mm-hmm. We definitely gonna have some fun.
I'll let the lawyers know. We'll see what we do about adjusting your pay rate. And you know, because you know it's not official game check since you're not playing in the games.
Oh, really? It's not going to be the whole check?
Well, no. You know, you got to play, like, the first 10, 15 games to get a real game check.
Well, you know what? So, I'll let my lawyer handle that.
So, you know, yeah, we'll, our lawyers will be in touch.
Yeah, I'll let my lawyer handle
that. I got to go. Here comes Kobe.
Oh, shit. Hey, bye. Give it up. Yeah, that's how that'll go. But, yeah, man, nigga ain't coming, dog. Played in just 3 preseason games.
Yeah, I think you got to play, like, 10 regular season games or, like, the first 20 to get like
the insurance part,
right? Or they can fuck with his paycheck now. Like he won't get all his money.
He played in only 15 games last season with nerve root irritation, something he invented. But hope for a comeback season after 7 months of rehab. I know Kobe looking at him like, you little bitch. I worked this hard to get back on this court. Your ass couldn't even do some sit ups. Being on the court this season has been my top priority. Yeah, okay, other than getting paid. And it's disappointing to not be able to do that right now. I work very hard to stay healthy, and unfortunately, my recent setbacks make performing at full capacity difficult. I will continue to support my team during this period of rest and will focus on my long-term health. Nash will focus on rest and rehabilitation. He's in the final season of his 3-year contract with the club's announcement made no mention of possible retirement.
I will focus on my health my last season, too.
He going to try to see if he could get one more check out of this shit. How you going to not say you retiring, dog? So you retiring then, Steve? I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm just saying I want to limit my minutes and my playing time to the least amount as possible. I want that Juwan Howard favorite player that final season. I just want to wear suits. Travel with the team, you know, got a family, don't want to really be around them.
Sorry to hear the news, my man, Swaggy P tweeted at him.
I love that dude, man. Mm-hmm. Swaggy P so cool.
He hurt too right now. So yeah, Steve Nash quit on the team.
Mm-hmm. So we not gonna talk about him stealing that money like y'all did with Kobe?
Right.
Where's
that part of the article?
Cause they
that's Kobe fault too? Okay. Dante Cunningham was accused of domestic violence. He's an NBA player. Turns out he actually had the case acquitted, and now he can't get a job in the NBA anymore because of the stigma of something that he didn't do.
That's what you want to listen?
It was 4 a.m. when Dante Cunningham pulled his truck back into the driveway of his suburban Minneapolis home and saw the police waiting for him. Officers put their handcuffs on the Timberwolves reserve as soon as his feet hit the pavement. The reality of his situation and the domestic assault charges that were on their way didn't sink in until he was lying in the jail cell and the lights went out. The whole time I was thinking, I'm okay, I'm out of here, things will be fine. Then it went dark and I was like, this is not a joke, I'm really in this. In the 6 months since the charges have been dropped and police concluded Cunningham's accuser fabricated some of the allegations against him, but those 6 months have also seen domestic violence in sports thrust to the headlines like never before, thanks in part to the Ray Rice scandal in the NFL, and Cunningham feels as if those handcuffs have never been taken off. He is now an ex-Timberwolves player, an NBA free agent who is living in a motorhome at a campground near Penn State, where a former college teammate is one of the coaching staff and runs him through the workouts. He lives in the motorhome because he enjoys it, not because he's broke, but the journeyman player who was hoping to get a multi-million-dollar contract this summer, says he hasn't even gotten an offer for the league minimum because teams have told him it's not worth the bad publicity that could come if they bring him in. At this point, it's about justice and about clearing my name, the 27-year-old Ford told the AP. Clearly, this adds a terrible stigma to my name. Now, when anybody looks up Dante Cunningham, oh, that wasn't the one that was in trouble. There's nothing out there saying that there was a false charge. Cunningham helped Villanova reach the Final Four as a senior. Okay, I don't care about that shit. Cunningham met Miria Heron last year, lived with her for 8 months, adopted her 2 children in a whirlwind start to their relationship.
Damn.
The two had an argument April the 3rd, and that's when their stories took wildly divergent paths. Heron told police Cunningham kicked in the door to their bedroom, choked her, and slammed her head against the wall. Cunningham says he kicked the door in more than a week earlier after he accidentally locked his keys in the room. He also says the only time he touched Heron was when he grabbed her wrist to get her to stop hanging on his truck as he drove away to cool off. Cunningham missed one game when he was in jail, but the team in the league did not suspend him under a collectively bargained policy of letting the legal process play out before deciding on a potential punishment. Cunningham was arrested again 3 days later after Heron told police that he violated a protection order by calling her from his hotel room phone and sending her threatening messages on Skype. A police investigation found Heron apparently sent the messages herself in an attempt to frame Cunningham. Heron denies that and maintains she was assaulted by Cunningham. That was not Dante that night, Heron told the AP. That sounds crazy, but honestly speaking, that was not the guy I was in love with. That was not the guy I laid in bed with every night. And that's not the guy I woke up with every morning. That was not him, and I honestly blame alcohol for that. Police said alcohol was not a factor in the case. They also recommended that Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman charge Heron with making a false police report for the second incident, but he told the AP he was reluctant to do it in part because he feared a chilling effect on future victims of domestic violence. That's always so sad. Like, people get to make false accusations, and then sometimes they just can't pay for it because there's so many people that's already intimidated into coming out. And so you don't want to punish people if they can't prove that someone did something. But yeah, irreparable harm has been done to this man's career and reputation. And the police are saying he didn't even do this.
Yep.
As dependable as Cunningham is on the court, he's not the kind of game changing talent that would prompt the team to look past the incident to sign him. Cunningham's agent Joe Bell estimates Cunningham could have landed a deal paying him more than $4 million per season were it not for the charge. He said he was told as recently as Monday by one team they couldn't risk public relations trouble that could come from signing him. Two executives with the NBA teams told the AP domestic violence charge was not a deal breaker for their teams to consider Cunningham, but it definitely made it more difficult. They spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to comment publicly on other teams' personnel decisions. Player Union's executive director, Michelle Roberts, says she has substantive dialogue with the league about addressing domestic violence, educating players and their families, but as a former public defender, she is also an advocate for due process. I don't quite frankly know what the rush is, Robert said. Many of the teams are saying, until this is resolved, I'd like at least for you to not play. I'm not fond of that. While Cunningham, I like her. Mm-hmm. While Cunningham was facing the charges, he was booed by home fans and the Timberwolves were criticized for allowing him to play in games. They think I'm a bad person, Cunningham said. Come on, I'm a great person. Give me that chance. I've been stripped of that. You have to understand that. That's terrible, awful. And if I don't have my name, what do I have? Well, bullet ball.
Hey, man, it's so sad. And it's why cats ain't hanging out with Ray Rice, man.
Yeah. But this is the world that people advocated for, and it's just gonna have to be some people that get hemmed up because people realize the power of the accusation is all that it takes to get people to go in on you. And once that happens, what can you say?
And the thing right now is just domestic violence cases,
right?
I'd hate for it to switch up and start being like, oh, he raped me because it could be just simple things from, he stole this from me.
Yeah.
Well, can you prove it? He bought it as a gift and he took it back, but it's officially mine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And and that player now he arrested on whatever charge, and now he got to sit out.
It could be 100 different things. And I'm saying some point it's going to happen, like, to really test one of these leagues, like during the Super Bowl week. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, well, how you going to let Reggie Bush play now when you just fucking said that that's not cool?
But not even Reggie Bush, but let it be Peyton.
Yeah, I'm just coming up with any name.
Yeah, but I mean, let it be somebody that's a star. That,
yeah, because they're going to let him play. They ain't going to be like, oh, due process now because it's too big a time. And if they don't let him play, you'll see the fans who were on the side of this shit completely switch. No! You can't take away the most important player during the Super Bowl.
Nah, this is what y'all advocated, though.
Yeah, this is what y'all wanted. Oh, it's different then, huh? Mm-hmm.
That's why Russell Wilson had to get rid of his wife, man. He was like, nope, I'm too close to choking a bitch out. She got to go.
Yep, but this is the world Leslie wants. So what are we going to do? North Carolina, here's what's funny. Everybody knows I'm a Carolina Tar Heels fan. But if you listen to this show, every time we have talked about Rashawn McCants and his accusations about the Chapel Hill giving away grades to athletes and shit, I have 100% of the time said I believe him. Every time.
Just said he the wrong person to be.
He doing it for the wrong reasons. But that doesn't make it not true. Too many, like, you had tutors come out and snitch. You had
a research professor.
Yeah, I shouldn't even say snitch, because snitch implies you were in on it. They was just trying to inform people, like, this is a huge fucking problem.
She lost her job behind it.
And they got fired, and yeah, they got tarred and feathered and ran out of town.
Yeah.
So now.
And you got NC State message boards.
Mm-hmm. So now, it's come out that more than 3,100 students, nearly half of them athletes, enrolled in classes that you didn't have to show up for and received artificially inflated grades in what an investigator called a shadow curriculum that lasted nearly 20 years at the University of North Carolina.
That's what I'm trying to go to.
Yeah, I'm trying to go. You can't now.
Try to get this doctorate, dog.
Yeah, can't do it now. Now they done fucked it up for you.
God damn it, Rashawn. That's why people don't like you, bro. Right. You are your daddy. That's why people don't fuck with y'all. Because of that.
The report released Wednesday by... I just picture Rashawn listening to this being like, God damn it, he right. The report released Wednesday by former high-ranking U.S. Justice Department official Kenneth Weinstein found more far-reaching academic fraud than previous investigations by the school and the NCAA. Many at the university hope Weinstein's investigation would bring some closure to the long-running scandal, which was rooted in the NCAA investigation focused on improper benefits within the football program in 2010. Instead, finding a systematic problem in the former African and Afro-American study department could lead to NCAA sanctions and possible dismissal of additional UNC staff.
Damn it, they fucking went to African-American Studies Department.
This is one of the reasons I never was okay with this scandal. Like, as soon as they was like, yeah, it's the African, I was like, oh, this is kind of racist.
It is true, though.
Yeah, that's what you picked to do it. As if African-American studies is so hard. You know what I mean? It's not physics. Just
and y'all
up.
Black. That's why, that's why Raymond don't fuck with you. That's why Sean May don't fuck with you. That's why none of the UNC alumni fuck with you, dog. And y'all deep in the league, and they don't fuck with you.
I think it's very clear that this is an academic, an athletic, and a university problem, Chancellor Carol Fort said. The report outlined courses in the former African and Afro-American Studies Department that require only a research paper that was often scanned quickly and given an A or B regardless of the quality of work. The school's board of trustees and the panel that oversees the state's university system reviewed Weinstein's findings during a closed-door meeting earlier Wednesday. A half-dozen officials and UNC athletic director Bubba Cunningham declined to say whether anyone would lose their job. Yeah, I heard he did a radio interview that was terrible today.
Who, Rashawn?
No, Bubba Cunningham trying to defend this shit.
Why would he try to defend it? You can't.
Trying to do damage control.
You admit you made an error and learn from it.
Everybody worried about them fucking vacated titles and shit.
Oh, they gone.
Here's what I'm worried about. What if you got a degree from UNC and you ain't played football, but you supposed to be my dentist? Now that's what I'm, you know what I mean?
all the nurses and doctors.
Everybody worry about the football people. What about the thousands of motherfuckers apparently that's in the workforce right now that don't get, shouldn't have a degree? Yeah, man, I'm just here to operate on your liver. Where you go to school? Oh, I'm majoring in African American studies.
Duke fans don't laugh. Y'all next.
Yeah, I don't even, man, I mean, I don't think NC State hates Duke as much as they hate Carolina. So they probably save it till we actually do get some sanctions.
Man, all it takes is one Brand. What's his name? Brand?
Elton Brand.
Elton Brand to be like, you know, I can't get back in the league. Yep. You know, it's all because Coach K was slandering my name. Mm-hmm. He won't give me an assistant job. He get that white boy them jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it just take one of them and NC State message boards. But mm-hmm. I do somewhere laughing, but y'all can't, don't laugh too soon. Like, everybody, all these top schools, we know y'all got dirt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not a winning program like that, and you're not doing something to be on top.
And half of them wasn't even writing the fucking papers, because remember that they was got in trouble for that. Like, you taking these classes and then someone else got to write the paper that you turn in and get an A for you, no matter what?
I'm mad at, yeah, the person that wrote the paper probably mad. Like, I stayed up all night writing this motherfucker's paper and they're not even grading it.
Right. What'd you get? B. They didn't really look at it, really. I mean, they just gave me a B.
But that was an A paper.
Right. Well, how'd they give you a B? Did they write any marks? No, they didn't even read it. By the mid-2000s, these classes have become a primary, if not the primary, way for struggling athletes to keep themselves from having eligibility problems.
Man, the professors can't get jobs. They got to go to community college now and work. Mm-hmm. If they can get their job. Like, because they, and you know, you can't really fire a professor that's tenured, because they bringing money to the university and they letting tenured people go.
The school hired Weinstein in February. Unlike previous inquiries by the governor, Jim Martin, and the school, Weinstein had the cooperation of former department chairman Julius Nyangoro and the retired office administrator Deborah Crowder, the two people blamed for the irregularities.
That first dude was African. Mm-hmm. He too busy sending out emails.
But here's the thing, checking. Though. He was indicted in December on a felony fraud charge.
Sending no emails. He really was sending emails. Damn, I was just kidding, bro.
You get an A for African American study.
I just need you to forward this email to all your friends. I got an extra credit assignment for you all today.
Am a prince. I need the money.
If you send this email to 20 friends, you get an extra credit of 5 points added to your overall grade.
No, not in my house. That's how I ended. That's the only one I know. So they actually cooperated because, you know, they had them charges on them.
He wanted to go back to Africa.
So they found out the real truth.
They got me bull-eyed up. I ain't going. I do whatever you want me to do. I'll snitch on the university. I will stop sending these emails. I will suck your dick. But I am not going back to Africa. I'm a proud African prince. And I don't want to go there. They owe me money.
Just the most racist episode we ever done. Oh, man. I'm so glad this shit's behind the paywall. So he helped them out because them charges is on his ass. and they got the charges dropped.
Now, is he snitching? Is he considered a snitch?
Oh, he's snitching. This nigga definitely snitching. Because they dropped the charges after he agreed to cooperate. So that's a snitch 100%. Deborah Crowder never got charged, but I think she's that woman who actually like tried to tell and then got fired. So she's like, fuck it. Of course I'm snitching.
Yep.
It was Crowder who started the paper classes as a way to help struggling students with watered down requirements. Not long after Nyangoro became chairman of the curriculum in 1992, according to the report. Though not a faculty member, she managed the courses by registering students, assigning them topics, and then handing out high grades regardless of the work. In 1999, in apparent effort to work around the number of independent studies students could take, Crowder began offering lecture classes that didn't meet and were instead paper classes.
I bet you her first paper, her first assignment was, I'm going to need for you to watch Menace to Society. And
how many years did she get a check, Justin, without doing anything? Like, this is kind of stealing.
She had the best job in the world.
Yeah, this is stealing on her part, too.
Yes.
Like, what do you do at the school? I mean, I grade papers, really, to be honest with you.
And she started it. Like, how did she rope him in, the African? How did she get...
When's the last time someone failed the class? Never.
It failed. We don't...
Yeah, we don't fail.
We don't fail students.
How do you fail history?
This is African-American history. All our students are black. They know where they came from.
Yeah. Like, one of our... You know, we do a pop quiz every once in a while, we tell them you can turn it in if you want to. And the biggest question we ask is, are you black? Yes or no?
Because, you know, it's a few Uncle Toms, so they're not really sure.
Any answer is fine. So we'll accept anything. Yes, no, Percy Harvin, Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson, whichever grade of black you are.
These classes are really about diversity. Mm-hmm. And that's just what we want to bring to the universe. We want diversity.
We want diversity, not adversity. Okay. With an eye to boosting a student's grade point average, even asking Crowder's successor to look up GPAs before issuing a grade. God, that's some dirty shit. Oh, he needs an A.
Julius. No, he needed an A bad. Julius Peppers.
Give him 2 A's.
Thank Julius Peppers. You think him and the African had an excellent relationship?
You know, he majored in African American studies. That nigga, he can't talk. Damn, boy, you got all A's this semester. See what you took. African American Studies 1, African American Studies 2, African American Studies 3, Afro American Studies, you know, Black Studies.
You know, Coach, I just study hard.
No.
You know, on the trips we travel, I bring my books with me. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to ask you about that, Julius. How come you only got one book? You in all these classes, 7 classes, one book.
Well, you know, the professor, she prints all our work out for us.
Yeah. I just got it up here, Coach. Point to his head. You know me, I keep it all up here. And all athletes made up about 47% of the enrollments in the 188 lecture classified paper classes. So, of that group, 51% were football players. Wallstein staff review records dating back to 1980s interviewed 126 people, including Roy Williams, who said he trusted the school to put on legitimate classes.
Really? Boy, Roy covered himself so good when he responded like that. But
he the best.
This go back to Dean, man. You think they got to take some of his wins too, right?
Hey, man, they got to take them all. Everything in the last 20 years. They should.
And I'm still gonna be like what Carolina won. That young, like, you can't erase the memory.
That's why, listen, if you know anything else about this show and how I view sports, take this. It's all bullshit. None of this is real. They are arbitrarily making games and numbers like it matters. It don't. Like, it's not like if the Eagles win the championship this year, I'll get some money at my house. It won't change my life at all. It's all bullshit, which is why it's so fun to me. Cause, like, I don't actually care about any of this shit, but it's fun to think about how much people do care about this shit and how silly it gets. Like, these niggas made up classes about African American studies to keep black people from failing in school, which is like the direct opposite, of equality. Yo, dumb black asses need these classes. That's basically what they said. We not gonna actually try to teach you. And the thing that's the funniest part about this is really what you have to do. Cause you not trying to educate these dudes. It's really not student athletes. It's semi-pro football. And the most important thing is giving them an excuse to say they went to school while you really educate them about playing football for your school. That's it.
Man, this is a 30 for 30 crew right now on the campus of Carolina trying to document this.
Yeah, 30 for 30. I can't wait to see it.
So I wonder if Jordan was a part of this.
Well, it said 92, so he was gone.
That's when she started it. But
well, see,
somebody had to put her on game, right?
See, what I'm thinking is, she invented this shit because it was like, I'm just tired of these niggas. Like,
somebody put her on game, man.
Maybe, but I mean,
James Worthy.
I don't know what she was before.
You think James Worthy was really typing his own papers, man?
No, I just think they was cheating a different way. Like, I mean, but see, my personal belief is that pretty much all these schools that are legacy institutions are cheating somehow. Mm-hmm. It's just whether you get caught or not. I'm never surprised about it. Like, you know, and then it's all about the selective outrage. If you get too good, people get really mad. Like, that's why they were doing so much to try to switch it to football. Because people are not nearly as mad at UNC football. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, yeah, vacated tire. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, well, you going to take a fucking Chick-fil-A bowl or some shit? Like, the tire bowl? Y'all going to take some of the tire bowl wins away? But if they would have said, no, actually, it is basketball. That's when people got scared. When Rashawn McCann stepped up and was like, it's basketball, too. Everybody kind of knew it must have been basketball as well. Mm-hmm. And then that's when shit got serious because people, it's just about how much you hate to see people win. Ohio State got taken down a notch because they was winning.
You know, and the thing is, too, man, had the coaches maybe just appeased him the right way,
mm-hmm.
just like they probably did with anybody else, Rasheed Wallace, anybody else, you know what I mean? Like, just... it might not be going down like this right now because yeah. he wouldn't have been out bitching.
Yep.
But this Wildcat, it's why they don't fuck with you, Rashard.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, that's that black male argument. I don't believe that a certain amount of money makes people like that go away.
I'm not saying money, but I'm saying don't slander his name for no reason when he trying to go pro. Just be like, you know what?
I don't believe
just judge him what he's done for our team and, you know, base it off that. Keep it going.
I don't believe that's how it happened, though.
Well, remember, he was saying
I know.
Roy
I
think, was slandering his name.
Yeah, I think that's not how it happened. Like, I really think he internalized a lot of shit that other people are like, that's not how that happened. Like, I feel like if you ask, shit, Raymond Felton, if you ask anyone else that played with him, they'd be like, Rashard is actually volatile. And, you know, Roy and them tried to put up a good front and lie, but he actually didn't have a problem until he was in the NBA. Like, it was after he was in the NBA before they started realizing this nigga's actually crazy. But he made it to the NBA and was a first round pick. Yeah, like,
cause he was better than Raymond and all them cats.
Yeah.
But he's not in the league now.
Yeah. He was better than Ray and them at some things, but
I mean, he could shoot better.
He was
better.
Also crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he could shoot better. He could get to the basket at will.
Right. He was, he just had that crazy in him, man.
He had his daddy in him, just like his daddy.
Just like his damn crazy ass daddy.
No disrespect.
But man, remember when we played that TMZ clip and he was smiling so smug. He was like, yeah, I got them niggas. They gonna have to answer them questions.
So what you get from it, Rashard? What you won with that? Can't never go back to the university again? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Way to bring them down. You taught Roy Williams a lesson.
Yeah. Oh, you can't work for any college team now?
Meanwhile, you know Roy gonna come out of it unscathed.
Yep.
Like, he probably loses, quote unquote, vacate his championships, but that's not really what, like, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You can't go to any college team. None at all. None. Not even your high school team coach. Oh, okay.
Apparently, there's a Notre Dame wide receiver who took a selfie in bed with the porn star Lisa Ann.
Smart. Always had her memories.
Mm-hmm. Justin Brent, he's a freshman.
Oh, do it, boy.
And fucking Lisa Ann.
You wore a condom, though, right?
No, Lisa Ann from the Maryland Parlin, does a lot of interracial.
Did he take it or is he sleep? And she took it because you can clearly tell she's taking this picture.
It looked like he sleep and she took the picture. They were last night. They were spotted enjoying in that so far as one can tell a New York Knicks preseason game together with her porn money.
Just wear the condoms, bro. That's all we're saying.
At some point, we're not sure the timeline. They ended up in bed together. We hope they had fun and stayed safe. Who snitched? Because you know somebody snitched because they have like a policy against certain shit with the Fighting Irish, so he probably gonna get in trouble.
he's just a freshman too. You got, you know, it's 2 years of college football, bro. You can't just go to the league.
And you know what's crazy is, you know, he's a freshman because, like, only at a certain age you would be stupid enough to be like, fuck it, take the picture. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you got everything to lose with this picture. And he was like, fuck it. He took a picture with her at the game, fell asleep around this trick.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's shit out there. Like, he might fuck around, lose a scholarship, get in trouble. Who knows?
Yep. And all the other chicks saying this.
Are they going to count her as extra benefits? So I feel like it's definitely extra benefits right there if you get to fuck Lisa Ann.
But well, I guess he get a congratulations all at the same time.
No, I just feel like it's sick. I mean, to me, it would be like if a male porn star was sleeping with an 18-year-old college freshman that played at UConn's basketball, women's basketball team. Like, part of me is like, this is horrible that porn stars are preying on the youth. You know what I mean? Like, part of me can't help but be like, damn, like, that nigga's stupid. Like, the fact that he took the pictures is the part that makes me be like, damn, he just stupid though.
But if that was something he always wanted and he made that happen,
yeah,
I mean, congratulations to him
for sure. I mean, honestly, man, you shouldn't tell other people how to feel about the sex they're having if they enjoying it. So I wouldn't begrudge him or the women's basketball player she was fucking, I don't know, Justin Slayer or some shit. I'd be like, if that's what you want to do, do it. But I feel kind of like, damn, this is, you know.
She's taking advantage.
Yeah.
Somebody taking the way advantage she took
it,
of somebody.
The way she took the pictures, it was like, look at me, I got an athlete. Like, you know what I mean? But anyway, good for them.
Yeah, you
got
to put them. The picture in the chat and let them see it.
Nah, I don't want them to judge, man. You know, nah, I actually just closed it. Let me open it back up. Where is it at? Yeah. Which one? The one with the no shirts on or the?
Just them in the bed, yeah. Right, well, I guess I don't know if that one's safe, but
nah, I think it's fine. No titties and nothing showing. Let me give me 1 second, everybody. All right, but yeah, word on the street is it might violate like some sort of conduct policy to be getting caught fucking these porn stars. But yeah, he look almost asleep to me.
Yep, his eyes nowhere near open.
But yep, I know the sex was probably fantastic. Put his ass to sleep. That's probably why she took the picture.
How long you think till he came? Like,
and you can tell she didn't put the flash on because he looked so much darker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lisa knows what she's doing.
She put him to sleep immediately.
He must have wrote an email to her or something. So
Holler that on Twitter, just like most of these young boys. He hit her up on Twitter.
Hit the DMs.
He using Twitter right.
The NBA, as much as they do all that bitching, actually voted against the anti-tanking measures for getting better lottery picks. So, only 17 out of 23 necessary votes for adopting the basically new draft lottery setup to discourage tanking. But they can keep voting on it, and word on the street is by All-Star break, it could be a rule.
They not, though. Otherwise, why it would have been voted in the first time if it's what they really wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and not to mention, if you look at these teams, let's be honest, they fucking stink.
Yep.
Like, it ain't, like, people say tanking, but tanking typically happens by the GM in the offseason, not during the season.
Cleveland's so used to tanking, man, they traded away. Mm-hmm. they draft their number one.
They got for tanking.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They so used to it, they didn't even realize, oh, we fucking up again. It's habit now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Browns wide receiver exiles his 2-year-old for liking the Bengals. Kicked him out of the house. Muhammad Sanu, Andrew Hawkins, who played with the Bengals but signed with the Browns this season. Still, the wide receiver has to uphold the AFC North rivalry after Hawkins' 2-year-old son said his favorite players were Bengals receivers Muhammad Sanu and AJ Green.
Mm-hmm.
So he put it on the Vine.
Well, fuck that Sanu.
Oh my God, that Vine is brilliant, man.
That is hilarious. But
oh, it was on Instagram. I'm sorry. Damn, I don't know how to share it in the chat. Look, I'll just have to put the whole page, but basically he said, who your favorite group, favorite play, wide receivers is? And he was like,
AJ Green.
AJ, Sanu and AJ, who used to play with his daddy. And he said, he took him, lifted him up, put him on the front porch, threw his book bag out there, and then slammed the door closed and said, good luck.
I could see him liking AJ, but Sanu, bro, you got me like,
I mean, he must got both of them on his fantasy team.
He got me like 8 points last week. That ain't good enough.
Just in case AJ get hurt, he got a backup.
I got both of them too, but that ain't good enough.
Okay.
8 points?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, you the number one receiver, 8 points?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
All right.
That's Justin. I said Baldwin for you.
Justin, guys.
I'm hurt.
Getting on the adorable kids. The adorable little black babies.
Man, fuck that.
Not good enough.
Fuck that sellout. Here, Uncle Tom.
White, too white.
Too white. Got a little white in him. Look how straight his teeth is. He's smiling in the picture.
Good luck.
That's so great, man.
That fancy coat that little kid got on.
I love that it was Browns clothes, too.
Yep.
Like, he was in the Browns clothes talking about the new AJ.
Kid smart. He know not to trust in Cleveland.
Lindell White got kicked out of a USC game and called the AD a coward.
Come on, man.
On Twitter, he said,
I thought you was done smoking weed.
AD, and drinking all that vodka. AD hating USC, you are a coward, and USC should fire your punk ass. I can't believe he kicked me out of the college, shook my hand, and then had me escorted out. I'm still at a loss for words. I can't believe this shit emojicon. For the first time in my life, I'm truly embarrassed to be a Trojan. I've done way too much to be treated like that. Smiley face.
But didn't he cause some scandal along with Reggie Bush?
Yeah, them niggas embarrassed the university with that shit. They also pointed out White had some hot USC coaching takes last week, which might be why the staff didn't feel accommodating them. Someone who wanted them fired. White reportedly yelled, fire Sark, referring to Coach Sarkisian as he left. More from Scott Wolf. He says, White apparently yelled he was 41-2 as a player at USC as he was removed by the LAPD. Hayden denied any order to remove White. AD Pat Hayden said he did not see Lindell White after the game or have him kicked out of the Coliseum. Lindell, man, you ain't got nothing better to do, bro.
Shouldn't you be at practice?
Like, something in your life? Just, I mean, not even playing practice. I mean, he's not in the NFL
no more. I was going to say he got, like, 4 touchdowns this year.
No, he's not in the NFL no more. Just go do something.
What's
fun.
The dude for the Patriots? I mean, not Patriots, but Pittsburgh.
Blount?
Oh, I'm mixing him up.
Totally different dude.
Yeah, just two different levels of ignorance.
Take your ass somewhere and go play basketball or the wire or something, man. Move on.
He looked a little slimmer right there, too.
Yeah, well, he did lose some weight after he said he stopped drinking fucking vodka before every game.
Man, him and Vince Young need to work out together.
Have
a y'all fix their life.
Remember we talked about Treon Harris, the dude who got suspended because he was accused of rape, but the charges were dropped, so now he can play, and he should be starting for Florida this weekend? They have a transcript from the case. It says, Detective Jay Ferroni, it's all like right here. Okay, well, that's not bad. So here's what's going to happen, okay? Like the lieutenant explained to you, is right now your room is being sealed off. What we're going to do is apply for a search warrant to go take anything that's potentially evidence in the case for the allegation, okay? So until that's done, you're not going to be able to have access to your room. Treon Harris.
Is that legal?
Yes. Seems like it, yeah.
I mean, you
that's why so they you arrest don't... you.
Well, he wasn't arrested. They was telling him you can't go in your room.
Yeah, I guarantee you it was, you know, that tongue in cheek. Like, I mean, or you can say, fuck us. We can't search the room. And like, this is what happens in real life when you say you can't search my house or my car. They don't actually say, well, okay, then have a good day. They go, all right, well, we're going to place you in our custody. We're going to go get the warrant. It'll take a couple hours. You're no longer allowed back in the car. You can sit in the back of the squad car. You can sit out here with us, whatever you want to do. But you can't touch anything because we have suspicion now. So until the warrant is denied or processed, you got to sit here with us. And that's what they do. Because think about it, man. If I came to you and was like, you're accused of rape. I ain't do no rape. All right, well, have a good day. And you just get rid of the evidence. You know?
That's why they should do their due diligence before they start challenging people like that. Like, if you think I'm guilty
of rape, what they're really hoping on is that you go, Yeah, you can search my stuff willingly. That's what they're really hoping, so they don't have to do the paperwork. So is this going to be on ESPN and stuff, said Treon Harris? Kids, man. Jay Ferroni says, I have no idea what's going to happen with any of that stuff. What we're doing is a criminal investigation. If someone comes forward to us with the allegation, we investigate it, okay? What I can tell you is we're really good at our job. Treon Harris says, yeah. And I promise you that this will be resolved the way it's supposed to be resolved. Yes, sir. Okay? Okay. Detective Jay Ferroni says, so what that means is whatever happened is going to come out and it's going to be done. Treon Harris says, uh-huh. Detective Jay Ferroni says, okay, so it's much better to just deal with this right now, right? Treon says, so it's going to get on ESPN. He said, Jay Ferroni says, then put it off. That, what's that? Treon says, so you're saying it's going to get on ESPN. Jay Ferroni says, I'm not even talking about ESPN anymore. Treon says, oh. Jay Ferroni says, I'm just talking about from the police department standpoint. The detective goes on to tell Harris why he shouldn't talk to the accuser and ask more questions about what happened. That includes questions about a text message Harris sent the young woman saying, don't tell nobody about nothing. Harris says he sent the text because he didn't want a different woman he was seeing to find out about it. This is when Harris brings up Jameis Winston.
You know what's crazy? Before you even say all that,
yeah.
If he's not under arrest, does anything he said, does it even count?
Yeah, it's all admissible. That's why I tell you not. You had a right to remain silent, but you shouldn't talk to their ass in the first place.
Yep.
Treon Harris said, I told her, I'm trying, inaudible, don't tell nobody, like, but she wouldn't come into you all yesterday if I went down like that. Jameis Winston did the same thing, you know? Jay Ferroni says, oh, Florida State? Treon says, yeah. And Ferroni says, right. Treon says, you know what I'm saying? You think I'm going to do the same as that? And Jay Ferroni says, you got to do your own thing. This is how they be getting you on First 48. They be acting like they on your side. Hey, you got to do your own thing, baby. Yeah, man. So I raped the bitch. What? Oh, wait, no. Say that. Wanna write that down?
Yeah, say it. Look into the camera this time.
Yeah, say it one more time. You got to do your own thing. You know what I'm saying? Says Treon Harris. Right, says Jay Ferroni. Treon Harris says, it should have been like no Treon, inaudible. And that's why I say I can't believe 20 it. I can't believe it. ESPN and FSU are brought up one last time by the detective. I know you were asking about ESPN and all that stuff. I have no idea. I can't tell you if they're going to do anything or not. I can tell you we're going to investigate as best as I can give you. That what the media does is 100% out of my hands, okay? I think that's kind of settled in a little bit for you right now. Right there, didn't it? Yes, because I got no, can't hear it. Detective Jay Ferroni says, no, I know, that's a big deal. The last someone wants is to go. I mean, what was his name at FSU? Jameis, said Treon. Don't want to go down that road, right? Inaudible, Treon says, though I can't believe if that would have happened, she would have came in yesterday. You know what I'm saying? In the last line, Harris is referring to the fact that the accuser filed a complaint a day after the alleged battery. It was a day after that police interviewed Harris. It was announced October 10th that the accuser had dropped their complaint, but police kept talking to people for several more days. That included the accuser's sweet mate, who, according to police, said she confronted the accuser about the text message and how it might have been Harris trying to keep another woman from finding out. She said the accuser told her, oh, I can lie the shit out of something. Y'all don't even know the whole truth. Soon after, the police declared the case closed. Damn. Man, what is up with this shit, man? Look. This college sex shit with the athletes and that shit might have been okay in the 80s and the 90s. But it's like I was telling KT, man, drunk women got rights now. Okay? And I don't mean that to demean women who get drunk and shit. I mean that as an absolute, like, statement of fact. Society has progressed past the slut-shaming of just you were drunk. So therefore, there is no case. That used to be some shit you could do in the 80s, the 90s, maybe the early 2000s. In 2014, you can't just be like, well, she was drunk, I was drunk, shit happens, whatever. You know what I mean? Not to mention the risk you take, man. Fucking these chicks, man. You don't know these chicks.
Escort service, man.
You'd be better off with it.
Coaches. I'm saying the coaches. Y'all need to get y'all own escort service, and you don't have to worry about this. You have professional hoes. Get you some professional hoes that want all these things that the athletes want to give to them, and no charges.
Another dude that got suspended too. Got suspended. Apparently didn't do anything.
All he did was cheat on his woman.
Yeah, cheated. Got suspended for sending a text about him cheating on his girl. I'm like, I could lie. And what was she going to get? Like, money from the school? Like, what's the plan there? I don't know, man.
Kids fucking with other kids?
Yeah.
You know, some people, just like this situation, just to see him not be successful in life, she won. She's okay with mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's just I guess I just can't relate to anyone having that mentality. Like, you don't feel bad. Like, I mean, you want to ruin somebody's life for what? Like, what do you get out of it? And then, like, you know, to tell somebody, like, yeah, I'm about to lie. I could lie the shit out of this girl. I'm about to damn get this dude for what? I don't know, man.
Keep him broke. Happy seeing other people fail. You know, there's people out here in the world like that.
Like that. Maybe he played her or something, or maybe she thought it was a relationship. Like, I don't know. It's just. I don't even know who to blame, because in a way he's the victim. So it's like I'm blaming him for something that's really not his fault. Like,
it's just like
you should be able to have consensual sex with somebody and not be accused of rape. Like, that is fucked up that she would do that to him.
Look at it this way, man. Just every week, you know, them same dudes at the Siski Y be like, you going to do your own radio show? You know, man, they say it in a sarcastic way, but it's that why they can't just be happy Rodney got his own show. You know what I mean? Or even when you changed the format of the show, it was people just being negative for no reason.
Right.
And just making up random shit against you and the show. And it's just like, for who and for what?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with them? I guess I can't relate. I just would never do that. It wouldn't cross my mind to do that shit. Speaking of not being able to relate, Drake is warmed up with the Kentucky Wildcats and sat in the practice and dressed in Kentucky Wildcats gear. Went into the layup line.
He's so lonely.
Shot an air ball three.
He's so lonely, man.
And he the worst, man.
They have everything. So now it's just a matter of that journey. We remember the high of last year of Kentucky, and that's finishing in the national championship game, not winning it. But the lows were low. I mean, the lows were low during the regular season, and I think that battle test.
Air ball three.
We just saw Drake take a jump shot. I mean, he didn't even draw iron. Yeah. But can we give, I mean, look.
Great. Understanding that this is also, we talked about this off the top. The trip to the Bahamas is about bonding, coming together.
He really went and dapped up a walk-on dude, too. Like, we in this together, right?
Yeah, why didn't he just go lay it up anyway?
Yeah, and they gave him an airball three, and then he went and shot. He airballed it. They gave him another chance, and he just bricked it. It was like, whoo, I hit some rim.
You never get two shots in a layup line.
Right.
Because there's 20 motherfuckers in that line.
Dude, the worst picture is the picture of his ass in the practice room wearing the Kentucky blue. Have you seen that shit?
Yep, I seen it. That's why I say he lonely, man.
Yeah.
Anybody with a woman is like, I'm just going to go meet the guys. I might even sing a song, rap a song for them, get some autographs, and we out, baby, okay?
Yeah, and Bo stayed making excuses like, well, if you was rich and you could do it, you would. No, I wouldn't. I actually wouldn't. It's not cool.
The whole uniform?
Nigga wearing the whole uniform? Like, it's like that shit was so fresh.
Yeah, I could see them wanting to meet Drake.
Right.
You know, Drake the multimillionaire. You know what I mean?
I could even see going to a game or, hey, we would like for you to come back to the locker room. You know, it'd be cool, like, for recruiting kids. I get it. I'm sitting up here.
Speech at halftime.
Like, he need friends. Where are your real buddies at, man? Like, this is going to be the show art, man.
Because he in the full, like, watching game film. Like, this is what we need to do on defense.
Yeah, like you're not going to actually play, Drake.
I think if I'd have never been in one of their locker rooms, I want to see what the locker room like. But not while they getting dressed or undressing. Like, no, just maybe the pregame speech or the half game speech. You know what I mean?
Look at his manager all the way up there in the corner. Like, I'm just not here.
He made me be here.
Yeah, please don't. He turned down his uniform. Hey, so would you like a blue suit? No.
You know what?
Give me one in the bag.
Put it in the bag.
Man.
Let me get two. I want to get one from one of my other homeboys.
I might wear the jacket one day. Ab Drake got his shit sipped all the way to the top. How old is Drake? I feel like he's too old to be hanging out with
those. He happy, man.
What?
He can't get into the Miami Heat locker room, so, you know, this way yet.
Yeah.
Oh. He's still hurt from that, man. He lonely. He is so lonely.
Damn, dog. You 28. 10 years older than them kids.
Like, he can't even, I guess he can't really bring him a gift.
Mm-hmm.
What, boosters give him gifts all the time. Like, how do they get around that rule? Could he not just do that?
I don't get it.
Show up at a booster luncheon.
It's not even about bringing a gift. Just like, come to the game like a normal adult. You know what I mean?
But if he want to be that thirsty, then he could do like the other thirsty boosters, and you know how they had them booster luncheons.
But even that level of thirst is corny as fuck.
I agree, but what I'm saying is...
Like, to me, what I'm hearing is, here's another way to be corny as fuck. Like,
It's a little bit less.
I stopped at don't be corny as fuck.
This is the more socially acceptable way of being thirsty, is by showing up at the booster meetings, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
This right here is kind of like stalkerish creepy. Like, you know, it's on that level of corny. Like, really? You peeping through windows?
Nah, man. Fuck that. Fuck that. He's so corny. Both ways is corny as shit.
He can rap, though.
Yeah. Barely. Barely. Sometimes he's okay. Most of the time he's not. You know he got a new song out?
Nope. Didn't know.
So you say he can rap, but you wouldn't listen. So there you go. I think that's enough proof for everybody listening. NFL ex-wives are saying that for years they felt pressure to keep quiet about domestic violence.
Well, when you had your own show, why you didn't bring it up then? Why was you just out there shading Pilar Sanders instead of talking about issues of domestic violence?
Two former NFL wives talked to the Washington Post about why they stayed in abusive relationships. Both described in the story published Friday how the league, the union, the coaches, and even cops encouraged them to stay silent. They say not to expect a newfound focus on domestic violence to make meaningful difference. You will hear of a wife murdered before you hear another one come forward. The Post talked to two women. Yeah, to be honest, Janae Rice didn't really come forward.
Yep. She went and got married.
Yeah. There was evidence that made them have to confront it in public, but if she would have had her way, the only time she came forward was to tell the commissioner not to punish her man.
Mm-hmm.
The Post talked to two women, one of whom declined to be named because her ex-husband is still associated with the league. She recalled a night in the 1990s when several players were out celebrating the New Orleans Saints' first big win of the season.
So you can narrow it down now.
Mm-hmm. At one point, she says her husband got mad, dragged her to the SUV while nearby officers were convinced not to intervene by a teammate. She says the attack grew worse at home. He pushed me to the top of the stairs, shoved me over the bed. When I stood up, he punched me. The next thing I remember is coming to on the floor. I remember pulling my legs up in the fetal position to protect myself from his kick after kick. I was vomiting and gasping for air and remember screaming, "You are going to kill me." Neighbors who saw the altercation began outside their home and called the police. But when they arrived, instead of arresting her husband, the officers chatted and laughed with Drew Brees about his success in the game. She says,
"Damn, she threw Drew Brees' name in that?"
No, I threw that in there.
Because she said 90s, but he's still in the league. Who's been in the league that long? Like, it's 2000.
She said still associated with the league.
Oh.
Could be an announcer now, anything. One requested an autograph for his kid, and then when her husband cleaned the blood from her face and ushered her downstairs to assure the police officers all was well at home, they overlooked any evidence of abuse, she says, and as far as she knows, they never filed a police report. The next day, she was phoned by a representative from the Saints. The rep said she called to check on me. I knew what that call meant. I think every wife knows innately what that call means. Your husband needs this job, and you don't want to take his dream away now, do you? I lost more than my dignity. I lost my voice, my self-confidence, my identity. I was just a football player's wife, collateral damage. DeJuan Smith-Williams is still married to the offensive lineman, former offensive lineman, Wally Williams, though they lived separately. Smith Williams recalled what happened in 2001 when police found marijuana inside their home. Then Saints coach Jim Haslett left a note on the door telling them to call him before talking to anyone else. Smith Williams said later Haslett told her, "Don't talk to the media, don't talk to the police, we will handle it." So when her husband did get violent, Smith Williams remembers the advice. The next day, during this final season, Williams tested positive for marijuana use and received a 4-game suspension. So when Smith Williams found the marijuana in the Baltimore home, she confronted her husband about it. He stormed through their Baltimore house with a baseball bat, hitting doors, chairs, and pictures while threatening her, she says. But after Coach Haslett's warning in the previous year, she chose not to call the cops. Instead, she rang the NFLPA rep assigned to Williams' case. He told her to stay safe and let Williams leave the house. He said that someone would call her back. The call never came.
She needed to leave.
She wasn't entirely surprised. The league rarely returned calls from her or otherwise, Dad told her. So she didn't bother calling again.
And why would she confront him knowing he's liable to whoop her ass?
The Saints did not comment. Haslett did not return any calls or emails.
Confront him over the phone.
Yeah.
Not face to face. I mean, how do you liable to punch you?
How do you even get out of the house with a nigga that big and strong? Like, how you even gonna make it to the car in time?
No, you leave, but like you don't tell him you leaving. Like when he go into the other room, you leave.
I know what you're saying. Was there somebody at the door?
I get it, baby.
Yeah, but when a nigga swinging a baseball bat in the shit, it's not gonna be that calm.
I guess this.
Oh, baby, let me just get the door, bitch! I hit no fucking door, I kill you.
I guess this.
I guess it wasn't the door.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Why confront a dude you know gets volatile like that?
I don't know.
Like I get you want to stay in a relationship, but you're not leaving sometime, you know. But then you also know his rules to this, like not agitating him.
Yeah, I, you know what? I can't relate. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
So. Well, I went to this domestic violence course and they talked about that. Like,
but I mean, you got an answer to it? I don't know. Is it like the situations are so fluid and so different and unique, and so different from my life experience? Even if I was in a class and they taught me about it, I still would be like, I don't know.
It's not. You diffuse situations all the time at the basketball court because at Seabrook Park, you was like, I can't, not with these people.
I feel you, but them niggas not like, those aren't my lovers. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I don't know, man. I just can't imagine being scared in my own house like this. You know, like it's so far removed from what I see as an experience I could put myself in, you know, and I don't mean that to, I'm just recognizing my privilege here. You know, I'll put it that way. I'm recognizing that it's nothing anyone could tell me that I really would be able to, like if you said, well, just like, don't ever confront them. Like, if I can never confront you, why would we even be in a relationship in the first place? And once I get to that step, I'm like, well, you know, I'm blaming the person. Like, why the fuck were you even fucking with this nigga ever? You know?
Well, that's why I say I get them staying in a relationship. I don't get the provoking part.
I don't even get them staying in a relationship. How can you get that though? Like, could you stay in a relationship with Turk if Turk was a person you couldn't talk to about any, like, you know, you come home, it's like, damn, she ain't do dishes. She fucking, you know, didn't make the bed. She ain't do, you know, anything that, you know, I wish she would have done. Why the fuck am I staying here? That's how I would look at it. Like, I just want to leave now.
Right. And I'm saying I guess cause I've seen it from people before.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, a lot of women just don't leave. They deal with the abuse for a long time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I can't relate to.
And so once I know I'm in that relationship where motherfuckers slapping me around, or abusing me, however, verbally or physically.
But you don't think you would slip up once, like, just once in a while? And plus, the other thing is, the people aren't reasonable or rational, so it's not even shit you do necessarily.
Right, and
I guess, in this situation, she's saying she quote-unquote confronted, and I feel like we're running with the word confronted. In my mind, I know it means like a, hey, what is this shit? You know, like,
why the fuck are you smoking marijuana?
Right. But in an abusive person's mind and in a person that's been abused mind, it really might just be like, You know, she might have been like, baby, you know, I found some weed in the bathroom. You know what's going on with that? You know, and they could just, like, in my mind, I'll be like, yeah, that's obviously a normal, that's like not even normal. That's the nicest possible way to approach that situation.
I just imagine a relationship with somebody that's abusing me. I don't bring up any conversation. All our conversations are about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I can't imagine it, man. I really, because I'm too, it's like you're human. You're going to have a moment where you just, like, you can't. And then the other thing is, they're not rational. You know, like, I recorded this documentary that came on HBO called Private, I think it's called Private Violence or something.
I've seen it. It came out Monday.
Yeah, I recorded it.
It was so good because it was in North Carolina.
Yeah, but it's shit like, they come home and decide your hair look too nice. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't control that. Like,
that's all the way different from you coming home. Hey, how was your day? Why are you smoking this marijuana?
I don't think it's all the way different, though, because, like I said, the assumption is when you hit confront that she came in there, like, with some level of, like, hey, like, I caught you. When it could really just be like, baby, I found some weed in the bathroom. Do you know anything about that? Or something like that. And he could, bitch, what the fuck? You threw my baseball, because he's got a baseball bat hitting shit. He not normal.
You don't play baseball.
Yeah, you not normal. Like, the response is so abnormal. I don't know how you adjust to living with someone like that day to day. Like, that's why I said when you were like, I can more understand your point if you were like, I don't even understand how the fuck you stay. You know what I mean? Like, I could almost understand it then because I'm like, yeah, because I don't understand how you stay either, because every day is something different. It's not a science to it.
I guess I'm not saying I understand how they stay, mm-hmm. but I understand that they do stay.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's,
all right.
That's more what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Like, I get it. Yeah. Because one way or another, these people are staying, and that's just a fact.
Yeah.
That can't even be argued. I just don't get how. So I can't relate to, like, the difference between, like, to me, the difference between saying I found some weed in the bathroom and the difference between saying, baby, what would you like for dinner? Both of them could be beatings to me. All of it could be beatings. So, like, how the fuck do you navigate your life? Like, how do you have a life at all? Because it's just relationships. You're going to have to ask a question once in a while. You're going to have a conversation once in a while. Plus, sometimes they want to beat you, so they, like, make it your fault. Like, hey, baby, what you want to eat? I was thinking pizza. Pizza, bitch, are you? What's my fucking bet?
Pizza.
You know I'm lactose intolerant.
Say P one more goddamn. Just in the word with P.
You fucking Papa John? Huh? Is that what you doing?
I knew when I saw that nigga name in your phone.
You call him Papa John, huh? He your daddy? Let me call this nigga on the phone right now. Yeah. Who is this? No, who is this?
Oh, thank you for calling Papa John's. How am I taking
order? Okay. So you just taking anybody's order now?
Oh, you just fucking my woman and everybody woman?
Okay. I see how it is. Well, sir, I just want to, we have a special on the large. Oh, so you trying to say you giving her the big dick? Okay. All right. Large pepperoni, right? You think I don't know the code, motherfucker?
Well, actually, you get four toppings.
You'll never see, so she gonna be on top four times. You'll never see her again, motherfucker. I know that much.
I mean, is there a closer location? We do deliver.
Nah. So you deliver the orgasm that I can't as a man? Cause I got small balls, cause I had HGH? No. What's my back?
Well, sir, We have like a 30-minute window to get the pizza.
So you can fuck for 30 minutes. You know, so she been telling y'all to be fucking for 5 minutes, huh? So you just telling them everything, bitch.
Well,
okay.
Well, actually, right. We have call ID, so that's how we knew who you were. Uh-huh. But we don't know you personally.
Nigga, come on down. Nah, you say you deliver? Come to the house. I'm going to deliver this ass with
you. Well, I'm not an actual delivery man. I just take the orders. We have a delivery man.
Oh, so it's more than one of you niggas fucking my... Okay.
Yeah, Juan Pablo.
Send anybody, man.
Well, we have a few drivers. Do you have a preference on the driver?
Yeah, send all of them. All the motor marriage.
Well, it's only one pizza.
You ever heard of me, dog? You ever heard of something called the New Orleans Saints?
Well, some people deliver based on your zone, so...
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put the bounty gate on y'all. So just come on down.
So are you ordering a pizza or not,
sir? I'm ordering something. I'm ordering a piece of your ass. Well, come up here and let me give you some of this back.
I don't sell my ass, sir. This is not an escort service. This is.
Oh, you won't be selling nothing after I'm done. I'm gonna escort your ass off the premises to hell, motherfucker.
You buying the company and firing me?
Oh yeah,
I'm fired now.
You're gonna be fired.
So I have a family and a child. I'm trying to take care of off this job while I go to school during the day. I just work nights.
Well, so now y'all have children together?
Just to help support my family.
Now you got a family and you cheating with Mark? Okay, motherfucker.
Well, who cheating with who?
You ever heard of Steve Nash, nigga? Yeah, that's how you gonna be. You ain't gonna be able to come to work for a year when I get done with your ass.
What? I need this job. Why can't I work for a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to need more than that.
My tuition goes up every semester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the school, I'm not approved for any more school loans, so I had to pay for this out of pocket.
The tuition for the School of Hard Knocks starts right now. And the admission is my bat up your ass. But
I don't know. That's not the university I go to, sir.
Oh, you're going to be going to the university. Don't worry. I'm going to help you change your enrollment. You transferring.
I like my university. Go Eagles.
Yeah, you transferring. You transferring tonight, motherfucker.
Go Eagles. It's called the.
Hold on. You know what? Who the fuck is Domino? I'll call you back, motherfuckers. Come on down. Come through. No, I'm gonna call Domino.
Don't go to Domino's. We're more than happy to fulfill your order here. Fuck Domino.
Nah, he getting some too.
Cause I can't afford any more write ups, sir.
Everybody getting some. Get the fuck out of here.
So you're ordering from us and Domino's. You haven't placed the order with us yet, though.
Yeah, I told you what I want.
You just said.
Told you what you're gonna get.
Right, but what do you want on your pizza? You said you're a large, but what toppings? You get four.
Y'all got banana peppers.
Yes.
All right, let me get some banana peppers. How many more toppings? How many more toppings do I got?
Three.
Because I'm about to beat this bitch ass, and I always get hungry afterwards. Let me get some black olives.
Okay, banana peppers, black olives.
Let's see, hamburgers. Yeah, get some hamburger on there. No, trying to cut down on the salt and pork.
Sounds like a good combination so far, sir.
And I'm gonna go with onions. How much is extra cheese?
It's $1 extra for each topping.
Yeah, throw on some extra cheese.
And would you like thin crust or hand toss?
Hand toss. And can you put extra garlic butter in there? Cause I'm gonna use that to throw in her cuts. It burns real good because it's salty.
And would you like a side order of wings or center sticks with this order?
No, I'm gonna get my wings from Domino's so I can whoop their ass when they get here too. So I could get some wings too. I like wings.
And what about one of our pasta bowls, sir? Would you be interested in a pasta bowl?
No pasta bowls. I will take one of your hastily made, terribly cut salads though. with the half a tomato, the whole banana pepper with no fucking seeds or nothing taken out, entire jalapenos without sliced up, not pitted olives, put some of those in there, and just big ass slices of lettuce.
It's Jesus, sir. I've been working with him on that, but it's the language barrier. It just makes it a little challenging.
Well, yeah, send his ass down here too. I'll help him out with that.
All right, sir. Would you like a 2-liter drink with that, or would this be all?
Give me a grape drink. I'm black.
All right. We'll get you a grape knee high.
Thanks. I appreciate you, man.
All right. Will you be paying by credit card or the phone, or will you pay when the driver delivers?
I'll pay when they show up at the door. They'll get what they owe.
Will this be cash or credit you'll be paying with, sir?
It's going to be straight cash, homie.
All right, sir. Your order should be there for the next 30 minutes, sir.
All right. Thanks, man.
You have a good day.
You too. Bitch, who the fuck is Domino? You ain't going to the Pizza Hut? This a strip club or something? Oh, hell no.
I like to say that this skit in no way reflects the thoughts or opinions of Rod of his Prime.
Hey, you know,
or Justin, or Rhyme or Reason.
Hey, man, I came up with a new idea, man, like to keep us from getting beat up and shit. If anybody try to fight us like a stranger, we just need to act like we African. Because, you know, the Ebola spread from blood and bodily fluids.
Oh, you want to fight me? Fight me then, brother. I give you this Ebola ass whooping, sir. You want to fight me? Fight me then. I spit on you. Now you sick. You sick. Now you got the spit of death.
I'm going to use they racism, they xenophobia against, against they racism. They not going to be able to do nothing to us.
Luau Deng safe because he came home and got cured.
Yeah. When they showed, they be like, nigga, get out the car. You know how fast you were going? I do not know the speed limit, officer. I'm like, oh shit. Where you from, boy? I just came from my home country of Ebola.
I'm from the West Africa. That's where I'm from.
I am from the Ebola. No, get out of my house.
I'm not Nigeria, Liberia. Liberia.
Sir, do you have are you sick? You feeling okay?
No. I'm fine. Are you okay?
I am a Nigerian prince. Yeah, dog.
Did you get one of my emails? What is your email address, sir? We can solve this with one email.
I will make deposit into your account. Nah, man, you have a good day. You go on about your business.
No, I make deposit for you.
I can get out the car. No, you stay in the car. You stay in the car. Let me pull off first.
But sir, in my country, we hug.
Yeah.
We hug. We don't. We meet stranger, we hug.
This tradition. You want to shake hands? No, I'm good.
No, we no shake hand. We hug.
You should search me.
Come here, sir.
I might have weapons on me. You want to search me?
Come here, sir.
No, I don't want to
search you. Just let me slide my slippers on. Come here, sir. Sir, come here, sir.
This is the worst episode we ever done. La 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 la. Hey, mama. Look, we already know what this is. I was gonna play the whole clip. I was gonna read some of the article. I'm not gonna do either one of those things. Fuck ESPN. Cause they created a story out of nothing. Like, if you think about it, they shit on my man, Kobe Bryant, our man, and made it sound like he the problem with the Lakers. Like, he the reason they can't get a free agent. Last time I checked, the NBA had to veto a fucking trade to keep the Lakers from just hopping right back up in the contention. Mm-hmm. You telling me Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, and Kobe wouldn't have been contending for something? Get the fuck out of here, man.
They would have made them winners.
Yeah, even if they didn't get a championship, they contending for something. Or is it that y'all really don't think Chris Paul is as good as y'all think? Pick one.
And wouldn't they have still had either Powell or Bynum?
Powell was going to be involved in the trade for Chris Paul, but that was also how they were supposed to get. Yeah, they were going to have Bynum or Dwight Howard. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's how they were going to get. Like, if Dwight Howard would have said no, they would have still had Bynum. So, nah, man, fuck that. And then to throw off, like, one, you can kick any aging player when they're down. Imagine what they say about Dwayne Wade if he didn't get gaffled out of his money by fucking with LeBron. Because he would have been making $42 million over the next 2 years. And they would have been writing the same shit. That's why they not good, because he old and they can't attract players and they don't like him. Nah, you could be likable. Likable is a constant in Kobe's career. He's never been likable. But he's won 5 championships.
And even when he tried to fit in,
yeah,
y'all was fucking with him.
So why would likable count now? Not to mention, your idea of likable is totally different than NBA players' idea of likable. Mm-hmm. We concentrate on the people that didn't get along with them. But when you look at the fucking, when you look at the teams, for the, USA, for the last whatever years, every one of those dudes calls Kobe their brother. They swear by that dude. They love him. Mm-hmm. That's LeBron James. That's Carmelo Anthony. That's all these people. Now, here's the thing that's pissing me off more than anything. This is not a micro conversation of just Kobe Bryant. This is a macro conversation of the CBA. Like, this is the collective bargaining agreement at work. This is what they negotiated. They penalized the big market teams with these huge luxury penalties for going over the salary cap, even though they could afford it at one point. They made it unaffordable. They did this on purpose. This is it working. Okay, when you see guys taking less money to go play other places, that's the CBA at work. They are penalizing those guys. And they have to make Kobe Bryant the scapegoat because he's the only fucking player with the balls to actually demand all his cash. He didn't just talk a good game like LeBron. He stays there and gets his money. Period. Like, he will not be paid. He will never be paid for less than he feels he's worth again. Period.
Yep.
So it's your job to figure out how to win around him. And for these anonymous GMs to even fucking fix their mouths to say shit, these non-winning. These
Danny Ferries.
Yeah, these non-winning sons of. Like, it's okay when anonymous GMs. We won't trust anonymous GMs to be okay about talking about Kobe because y'all niggas don't like Kobe. But when it was talking about Luol Deng, where was your ass at? Right? Mm-hmm. So, but suddenly we supposed to believe that these motherfuckers are a beacon of integrity and we can believe in what they have to say? Fuck you. I know you some Kobe Bryant haters, cherry picking your arguments and shit, but just keep it reality. That Chris Paul trade goes through, we're not talking about when's the last time Kobe got a free agent. Shit, they even got Dwight Howard after the call trade didn't go through.
Yep.
And Dwight Howard is not a dude that's built for winning a championship. That's not on Kobe. You think they're going to win one in Houston with this nigga? They got their ass whooped by Portland.
Hand it to him.
Portland. He not the answer, dog.
Some rookies.
Yeah.
Second year in the league playoffs.
And you know what else? Dwight Howard's not a dude you can get a ball to a lot and depend on winning. He's not. He never has been.
He can't shoot.
You know, his defense isn't where it used to be anyway. But back when he was like the best defensive big man in the league, even then.
He could only catch them alleys from Jamal. Right.
He was go long stretches of time without touching the ball. His game is rudimentary. It hasn't even improved since then. What the fuck is wrong with people? I'm not going to slander my man Kobe. Every aging NBA player is going to go through this. And it's not necessarily because of the type of player they are. It's the CBA now. Do you know what I mean? Like, put it this way. Until this year, LeBron James had never attracted a good free agent to Cleveland. And we all agree that he was the best player in the league for the last however many years. Before he even went to Miami, we was like, he the MVP. Niggas was like, I'm not coming to play with you. Not taking a pay cut, and I don't want to live in Cleveland. People don't want to take a pay cut to play with anybody.
They still not beating down doors to play in Cleveland. It's only Kevin Love.
Right.
Like, it's only, and you see what we think about him.
Right.
They not going to win with him. So, he just the new Antoine Jameson.
It's nothing but another hit piece, and I fucking hate that ESPN did this, because by the end of the week, they had Jenny Buss on their shows. They had Lakers employees and coaches giving statements to ESPN. So ESPN manufactured a story out of nothing. And if it says anything about it, it just says Mamba is back. That's it. You know he's officially back when they start hating again. Because when he was fucking down and out and hurt playing six games and needing to rehab, every story loved him. Every story. Oh, we love Kobe. What a great legacy. What a great player. His mind is focused. No one ever mastered their body like Kobe. And now he's back and people are seeing him ball during these preseason games. And now it's like, oh, we can hate him again? Good.
It's Kobe's fault Dwight don't want to win and don't know how to win?
Yeah, what is Dwight going to do without Kobe? That's what I want to know. Cause I don't think anybody would argue that the Rockets roster is not better than the Lakers. Everybody would tell you it is, but what the fuck is Dwight gonna do with that? Kobe holding him back from a ring? Or did he not want to stand under the greatness of all those centers that are better than him? All those players that getting plaques and his ass ain't.
If anything, Shaq the one got him not want to sign with the Lakers, talking about he copying his career.
Shaq, Wilt, Kareem, pick a Lakers center. He ain't better than none of them. He want to go somewhere and be the best.
Melo didn't come and for financial reasons.
Yeah, but he want to, Dwight want to go somewhere and be the best without doing the work. You know, in Houston, he'll never be the best. And all the scams that Hakeem can run on him, it's not going to help. Hakeem can run 100 scams. Is none of them going to help him run a post move.
Oh, I thought you was going to say he going to fall for every scam Hakeem give him.
He is, but I'm saying they won't help. You know what I'm saying? He could go to 100 of them camps. He going to always throw that fucked up hook shot up. Mm-hmm. Like,
he needs to have shoulder surgery and reduce them.
This is amazing to me, dog. It's amazing. I've never seen the level of hate dedicated to a dude like this.
That's why I like him. It makes me like him more.
It always does, man. It always does. And it's funny because I'm the first nigga to be like, oh yeah, he lame. Yeah, he an asshole too. Mm-hmm. I don't do the hero worship thing where it's like, if I like him, he must be a good person. No, he's probably a bad person. I probably wouldn't want to hang out with him. I mean, he pretty much does dickhead shit to people. That being said, he's been a dickhead through 5 titles too. So how come he got these titles if he's such a bad personality that it just rails everything? And he's the reason the Lakers can't rebuild, you know? And also, man, they're vilifying him for taking the money. And the NBA likes this. The owners love this. Mm-hmm. This idea that, hey, you actually took what you were worth, you're a bad person. Fans love it with their jealous, petty head and ass. So yeah, man, the article's not valid. I don't agree with it. And I think that the ESPN manufactured a bullshit story just for a way to get some more Kobe Bryant hate in, because niggas hate Kobe. But here's the question I want you to ask yourself. How is this any different from how they're going to treat LeBron at the end of his career? If he stays in Cleveland.
They're already writing letters.
What are we going to say? Because here's what a lot of people don't recognize. While us, the people who listen to this show, the black people in general, kind of have a more soft spot for LeBron James, a lot of white people don't. A lot of sports fans do not like this dude, even right now. When they take a poll, the racial divide is real.
And we get into them discussions every other week at the YMCA.
Right. They're going to write the fuck LeBron James pieces at the end of his career. And he's already been on what, 2 or 3 finals teams that didn't win a championship?
Wasn't it 2 in a row in Cleveland?
Yeah, I want to say.
One in Miami?
Yeah, one in Miami, two in Miami, right? Dallas and the Spurs.
Oh, yeah, so that's 4.
So he's been on 4. They are going to shit on him. He's not perfect either. And they're going to pull this same, like, he's not really likable. I remember fucking Wojciechowski or Wojo, Woj, the dude from Yahoo, writing the, like, almost make it sound evil and sinister how Wade, Bosh, and LeBron became friends on Team USA and decided to play together. He made it sound evil, y'all. He didn't make it sound like 3 buddies who decided, like, yo, man, let's do something cool and win an NBA championship. Let's all take a vow to take a little less money so that we could play together as friends. No, he made it sound like, oh, look at these motherfuckers colluding to get out of winning the championship the right way. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to happen to players you like, and I'm going to laugh like a motherfucker. And I like LeBron, and I'm going to laugh when it happens to him, because people think that Kobe is on the island. He's the only dude that's going to get done like this. And ironically, after he retires and LeBron is going through the phase where people are measuring, like, if he's better than Kobe and Jordan and shit, that's about the time where y'all going to actually forget how much an asshole he was. And be on his dick.
Remember when he was dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when LeBron used to dance all them celebrations?
Dog, I'm telling you, watch this, dog. It's going to be the same. Like, it's going to be, say, 5 years from now. We'll be going, how many titles did LeBron win? Is it more than Kobe's? And if it's not, we're going to be going, man, Kobe Bryant's going to the Hall of Fame soon. He was such a great player. What a competitor. You know, that's the difference between him and LeBron. That's what you're going to start hearing a lot of. What, the ghost of Kobe Bryant gonna be better than Kobe Bryant
was.
Look
at Kevin Durant doing things the right way.
Yeah, look, like, the ghost of Kobe Bryant will be better than Kobe Bryant. Just like the ghost of Michael Jordan has never lost a game, the ghost of Kobe Bryant gonna be up there too. Second best shooting guard of all time behind the best player in the NBA history. So, yeah, man. When I read this shit, man, I just straight up was like, fuck it. You know, Bo was trying to, like, talk to me on Twitter about it. I was like, man, I don't even want to hear it. Like, this is a hit piece. Like, don't try to tell me it's not. You know what I mean? I get that people think personality matters, but y'all think it matters a lot more than I do. Like, the same way I don't buy into leadership. I don't buy into it. Hey, man, he's a great leader in the locker room. Yeah, when they're winning. How come there's no great leaders on bad teams? You ever notice that shit? You know, Russell Wilson was a great leader last year. Yeah. This year he's too white because they 3-3. I don't want to hear it, man.
Same dude.
Same fucking dude. Tom Brady's a great leader. Why? Because their division is weak as fuck. They keep winning it.
Out here throwing these ducks.
Throwing these ducks. He's playing against Geno Smith, EJ Manuel, and Ryan Tannehill.
Why wasn't he impactful in Aaron Hernandez's life?
Yeah. Why couldn't he save him? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Why Gronk still out here on the ropes, on the edges?
Everybody's a leader when the chips are up, man. But we know Kobe's a leader when the chips are down, too. Even if it's leading the crazy way. He's a psycho about this shit, but I respect that psycho tendency because I don't need you to be a good person. And I don't need to kick you while you're down, man. Only person I kick while they down is Dwayne Wade. That's it. And I'm trying to let that go. Mm-mm. But y'all see Justin won't let me.
Because that means you side with side chicks across the world.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. Not even going to argue with you right now.
Side dudes, too.
Anyway, man, that's been it for Balls D Sports, man. Thank you. This is a long one, but I had a good time. And we'll be back next week. Peace out.
Peace, y'all.